For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly
just lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Is that our new theme song? What's up, everybody?
I'm trying to sing the old song. What happened to the theme song? Do we have it?
Yeah, we still got it. We just throw it on in the beginning. We just don't have all the fucking bells and whistles we're used to.
Yeah.
But it's a new Punch Drunk. What's up, Ari?
Is that the halftime break song?
Now, we were going to have Ren Azizi in here and Tate Fletcher, and Tate's on his way, who we love. And we were going to paint, and we'll talk about it when he gets in, but we were going to get Ren Azizi painted into a corner and make him vomit again.
A barf corner. Yeah.
A barf corner. And I saw both of them at the store last night. Went to Ren Azizi, rented this, by the way, a beautiful place in the hills, like this, you know, apartment. It's a fucking dope house in the hills with a pool. All week right now.
What house? The one he stayed in all summer?
Similar, but like further up the hill.
Really, Ridge rented for a week?
Yeah, he's only there for a week. So he has, hey man, why don't you and Adam and Taylor come by? I'll order food. This guy gets Mazza, that fucking swanky Italian pizza place. It's like super rich people, only like rich. I went there once with my ex-girlfriend Heather. We went there and it's one of those places where you like you'll order something and then like just bring like a plate and it's like $40 a plate or whatever and it's just got like two fucking pieces of ravioli on it with like you know glazy rich people sauce on it and you're like damn that's $40 and then you just keep ordering things and it's just like you know like one baby carrot and a fucking like piece of cheese and something else on it. This guy orders pizza from that place like a bunch of them. And, like, right when we walk in, you know, Dave Taylor, he's like, yes. Right when he sees it, he's like, yeah.
He's free. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're hanging out, and he's agreeing to do the show. And he doesn't know we're going to talk about this bet with Josh Martin, where he has to wash his face with all of our cum. And I'm like, oh, he's going to puke when this happens. I see Tate later at the store. We all go to the store. I see Tate there with Rogan. And I explain to Tate what we're going to do. And he goes, dude, he's going to try to run out of the room. And I go, that's where you come in.
That's where Tate comes in.
Yeah. He tries to run out of the room. You just stand at the door and just keep him in the room.
Yeah, look him, stare him down.
What friend is easy going to do to Tate? Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, nothing.
Do you think you, me, and Ren Azizi could beat up Tate in a fight, 3-1?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah.
I can't wait to ask him about that. Why do you think that? One of us is gonna go down and have to be like the first guy to get in there while the other two jump on his back.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
It's not gonna be great at all.
We're not gonna dominate. I mean 1,000% we're not gonna dominate.
We get no weapons. It's not like we get a fucking 2x4 or anything like that. It's just like three guys against a fucking man.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna fucking kick his ass.
I can't wait to discuss that with him.
I mean, if he disagrees, he's fucking lying to himself.
You know, he's humble. He might say, no, you guys will probably beat me up. You guys are all good-looking guys. I'm just a fucking regular Joe. He's lying when he says shit like that.
Yes, but also, beyond lying, he's no, man, of course, there's three of us. There's three
but
of
it's
us.
You, me... Yeah. And Ren Azizi. It's not like, you know, Rogan. Oh, who would win in a fight between Rogan and fucking Tate?
Tate, I think. I think he outweighs him.
Yeah, by a lot.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like 2 feet taller than Joe, too.
Yes. Yes. He's got reach. He's got reach, massive strength.
Reach. And I think he could take a punch.
He outweighs Rogan by like 60 pounds, too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Real quick before he gets in. What's up, everybody? Go to Amazon. Go to punchdrunksports.com, the new website. That's great. Even though, were you fucking with Sam or you really don't like the site?
No, it's way better than it was.
It's way better, right? It's way, the best site we've had.
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
God, you lit a fire underneath him. You lit a fire.
Saying, all right, don't fuck with the site. Yeah, I knew that bothered you. I could see it on his face. I could see him seething as soon as I said the site sucks.
You know, he said to me the other day.
It's a million times better.
He goes, he's like, look, man, Ari just likes to get me mad. He likes to make me yell and work yeah. me up. I go, you're just figuring this out right now? That's the crux of our entire show. It's in our theme song, Ari pissing you off and lighting your fire. Right now, 15 years into your friendship with each other, you're just discovering that Ari loves to piss you off?
Yeah.
I don't know why I fall for it all the time, man. I don't know why. And I'm like, dude, if you didn't, we wouldn't have a semi-successful podcast. So go to the website that Ari loves so much, punchdrunksports.com. Click on the Amazon link. Any shopping you got to do, maybe you forgot to buy somebody a Christmas present. Maybe you want to buy somebody a Hanukkah present because I think Hanukkah is still going on for 40 more days. How does that work?
No, it's long over. It's long gone.
Is that how it works? It's over? Well, yes. next year's Hanukkah.
Well, maybe next year's Hanukkah, yeah.
Valentine's Day. Maybe a New Year's gift. Whatever you got to buy. Click on the Amazon link right on there on punchdrunksports.com. And that throws us a little bit of money. What about Caveman Coffee? We're about to have the fucking founder of Caveman Coffee come in here and sit down and choke me out live on the show.
Is he going to choke you out?
I hope not. If he is, I have no say-so in it.
Dude, how bad do you feel about the Falcons? I mean, they got Julio Jones back. You're like, okay, last year was an aberration because they were injured.
Yeah,
but this year...
It's just awful.
This year, they'll be good, you say.
It's just awful.
Just awful, man. I mean, they couldn't have underperformed more.
It's awful.
They got blown out.
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful.
God. They sucked.
God. Well, I'll get into that in a second. Let me get these goddamn sponsors out of the way. Then I'll have my fucking meltdown. Because I have so many problems with it. But we'll get to that. Go to Caveman Coffee. Huh?
Caveman Coffee.
Put in the code PUNCHDRUNK. Sports. PUNCHDRUNK Sports. Oh, wow. Ari Shaffir's autograph. Wow. You just increased the value of our show. PUNCHDRUNK Sports is the code for Caveman Coffee. That saves you 10%. And you get all the delicious coffee that they have, and we'll talk to them about it in a second. And, dude, they're opening stores. You know, they just opened, like, 7 stores now.
But for real stores?
Yeah. Like coffee shops, like stores, like you go
she
in.
Just right here.
Yeah. Dude, I don't think they are. I think they are opening one out here. Well, I talked to them last night.
No, I mean, we should talk about this when Tate's here.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Maybe we should. Maybe we will. Maybe he won't show up. We'll see. And then finally, BetTSI. Now's the time to bet. The playoffs are about to go down. Some great matchups. BetTSI.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK. And that's 10 free bucks to gamble with. Throw some money on the goddamn playoffs. Right now's the time where everybody's like, I know how the playoffs are going to unfold. I know who's going to win every game. And I'm confident in it. Who's your Super Bowl thoughts?
They don't know. They don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's why Vegas looks like it looks.
It's built up really well. They have statues in the lobbies for no reason.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why they have, like, sharks swimming around in, like, the middle of a fucking... They have, like, Bengal tigers in the middle of a casino.
Yeah.
That's why the place looks like it looks. Because everybody's always wrong.
Because the people thinking they can win.
Yeah. If gambling was easy, Vegas would look like fucking, you know... Like Melrose or something. You know, it'd be just shitty.
So good. They do so good with it.
Yeah, I know. Sucks. Who are your Super Bowl thoughts?
Cowboys and then whatever also Ram comes in.
Dude, you guys got a legitimate shot.
I mean, we're tied for the best record in football. I looked at the line. I'm like, wait a minute. No one has a better record than us.
Undefeated on the road.
Undefeated on the road. That's going to help because we're going to go
only
on the road.
Six teams have ever done that in the history of the NFL.
And how do those teams work out?
A couple of them won the Super Bowl.
Four have been to the Super Bowl out of the five. This is the sixth.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of them won it?
I don't know. I don't know what teams they were.
Still. Dude, I mean, in the NFC.
Still. Exactly.
Seahawks overrated. Arizona is going to get, they're done. Arizona's going to get beat by Carolina. Carolina's weak, even though they beat the fuck out of the Falcons.
Yeah,
they're
but
still weak.
Like, whoever comes out of that is going to face, unless a wild card team advances. No, but that would be that one. So whoever faces that is going to face Seattle.
Yep.
You know? And then the Cowboys are going to face Green Bay, yeah, in the second round. That's the tough one.
Yeah, that is. And you know what? If it wasn't for the lay of the land,
yeah,
I could have seen Green Bay-Dallas as like an awesome NFC championship game.
Yeah, but it can't happen.
But even it can't
if,
happen.
If Arizona wins or if Carolina wins, either one, they're both going to face Seattle. Unless, no, even Seattle can't lose in the first round. There is no first round for them. Yeah, that's just going to happen.
Yep. Carolina is going to win. Dallas is going to win, and then you're going to have to go to Green Bay, and then Carolina is going to have to go to Seattle.
Yes.
Carolina could beat Seattle.
Carolina could beat Seattle.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
No way.
Seattle's overrated, bro. Seattle's overrated.
You think so? I think they're coming into their own.
Ah, I think they're overrated. I think they're overrated. If you can fucking contain Russell Wilson and stop them from running, that's it.
Yeah.
That's how you beat them. If you can shut down Lynch and just contain Russell Wilson, you beat him.
Yeah, but that's so hard.
Yeah, I know. But that's all you got to do. It's not like they have like a Dez Bryant or some like shutdown receiver that's just unreal.
No,
and it's not like their defense
is
as good
as
it was last year. It isn't. Their defense isn't as good as it was last year.
And the Cowboys did beat them.
Yeah. You guys can beat them for sure. I think Carolina can go in there and beat them. But what Dallas's biggest problem, and it's literally if you want to get to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
got to beat Green Bay at Green Bay.
Ooh, that's so hard.
And that's it. And that's
dude, Romo was playing better than he's ever played before.
Yeah. Your entire team is.
God.
Dallas is good, bro. And this is the first time I'm saying that. Like, all year, I'm like, I don't see it.
I mean,
for the last 2 weeks, including right now, I'm like, Dallas is good.
3 weeks? What about they beat fucking Philadelphia?
Philadelphia's a little overrated.
I know, but that was a make-or-break game. That started Philadelphia's downturn. No,
yep.
I didn't know before was that. But if Philadelphia wins that, the division's over right there.
Yeah.
Division's done right there.
Were you worried you guys playing everybody this Sunday? I'm like, why is everybody
why
still on the field?
The half. I wanted a quarter, but I would have been okay with a half.
You know why?
In fact, they came in up 17 at the half and still played those guys. It's like, what are you doing?
Like, it's third quarter. Like, it's late third quarter, and you see Romo just get drilled. And then you're like, why is he in this game?
Why is he in? The game's over. This
game
doesn't mean anything. Because it's like we're going to get the three seed no matter what. Almost no matter what. Unless it's a tie or two teams lose and neither one of them did.
Yeah.
Or one of them did, actually. But, like, it's a three seed. So stop it. So, like, just have a bye week. Have a free bye week.
You know why they all were in?
Why?
All of them broke records.
They already broke them.
Well, you mean in that game they broke them.
No, but I'm saying by the time the second half came around, they were already all broken.
Uh-huh.
Romo broke it the week before for Aikman's record.
Yep.
He did it the week before, so that he didn't need to be in at all, but you have to be in, okay. You don't want to get rusty, okay.
Sure. Play a half.
Did it the first half, and fucking what's his name did it the first quarter.
Yep.
And it's not about getting injured, like, oh, they might get injured. It's getting banged up.
Yeah.
It's being at 92% instead of being at 100%.
Yep.
It's like, have less bruises going into this week.
Exactly. Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, you're rolling the dice with them getting hurt in general.
Yeah.
But something happens, like, it's just like you're saying, man, you know, it's just an ankle sprain. Just, you know, fucking your whole, you know, you're aching. Oh, boy. Guess who's here?
Oh, Tate Fletcher.
Tate Fletcher.
Tate the Mate
this
Fletcher.
Bruiser.
Hi, Ari.
Hi, Tatey.
How are you? How are you?
I'm great.
Of course you are.
We were wondering. Now, Ren
is
like
easy. Undesirable. You dress like an undesirable.
Yeah, I know,
this
right?
is a $700 jacket.
God, sure it is.
It's like you took your role in Breaking Bad and you're just like, I'm sticking with it.
Because before it was so good, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. He literally looks
it's
exactly
like,
the same.
Now my rent's paid and you're mad at me.
Yeah, you're a welcome part of society before. You're a mensch. And now less menschy.
It feels like I don't need these.
You can do without them if you want.
Do you like me with them or without them, Ari?
With.
You're so good.
Without. I don't know. I think without.
Were you in China?
No, I'm in New York City. New York City?
Skyscrapers and everything?
Tate, I got your gummy bears you sent me from Colombia.
How were they?
Excellent.
Oh, good.
What?
Good.
Excellent. I mean, you can taste the lack of FDA approval in there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there were chemicals that I hadn't even come in contact with.
Was it some kind of like rare new gummy bear or something?
It's just like I know his affinity for gummy bears. And then whenever I run across an interesting one, like the last time it was too big. It was as big as my head, this gummy bear that I sent him. And he wasn't very committed. He ate like, I don't know, 8% of it. But I see these in Colombia, and I was like, oh my God, that's Ari's shit right there. So
they had mushrooms on the package too, which I love mushrooms, but they weren't mushroom related. It was just bears.
There was stuff that was Ari related there that you would have loved. We went up to this place called Montserrat, which overlooks the whole city of Bogota.
Uh-huh.
And you can crawl up there on your knees if you want your prayers answered from Jesus. And you can climb, I think, 4,000 foot ascent or something like that. Jesus. And, people give offerings and all that on their knees. They get it's people are so crazy. Anyway, there's like a little village up there, and all these indigenous people are selling their wares, and most of their wares have to do with cocaine and marijuana, and then bags or an umbrella maybe. But
sure.
they have creams,
like a regular
creams,
mom and pop store
ointments, like mentholated booze drinks and all that. All that are all laced with coca and like there'd just be leaves soaked inside of some kind of alcoholic solvent and pretty interesting stuff anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like having a beer with like and 9 Red Bulls at one time.
Exactly. And they're all like, they're like, hey, just try this. This will take care of your altitude sickness or whatever because you're up at like 13,000 feet now. I'm like, I think it will alleviate maybe anything like that you might have. Like I could get surgery with this.
Hey, take this. It'll make you cheat on your wife. It'll make you rob a bank. We had this argument with Tripoli where he's like, dude, I think that cocaine should be legal. I'm like, no, it shouldn't.
I agree with that.
I think it should
Sam.
Be legal.
Yeah, I say legalize
dude, that's
everything.
That's legalizing bank robbery.
Yeah, legalize
no,
everything.
Not.
Like, I get the pot thing.
What it is it's taking Uzis out of the inner city. It's like, if there's no black market for anything, there's no commerce for fuckery. And yeah. You know, like, that's the real deal.
I mean, I've done all the drugs. I've done them all. And, like, pot, I get the harmless nature of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for me, if I smoke pot, it's just a house of cards for me. That's why I don't
Until you run into a DEA agent and you got a pound in your trunk and then you go to prison for fucking pot.
Sure, and I
and
get
it's all
that.
The same, you know what I mean? It's like...
But a pound of coke versus a pound of pot are two entirely different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, you can make a house payment that's a big chunk if you got a pound of coke.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Mean? Oh, yeah, way big. But here's the thing. Making it illegal, it's not like it makes it go away.
Right.
You did tons of coke while it was illegal. So how would making it legal change your coke use?
It didn't deter me a bit.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying it's just like people that start doing it. I don't know. Coke to me is a life wrecker. Maybe that's
just... You definitely got to have some outreach on it. You definitely have to get some education and stuff. But Pauly does coke all the time. He's just as big a douchebag now as he was before.
Does he still? No, he doesn't.
Occasionally, guys like that all do it. There's
a lot of people put Pauly on blast lately.
I can't see him doing that. Still, to this day,
he had one of those things where he could do a line every like 8 months.
That's not even doing coke.
Yeah, that's just like saying
that's like you tripped on the curb every
exactly.
now and then.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's some silly shit, right?
That's like
there.
Finding a quarter on the street.
Yeah, did he suck a dick with that too? Like,
no, he never got that far. He never got that far.
Did, because I can do it. I could do one and then stop, right?
Right?
Your friend David Taylor last night, Ari, he was irreverent, David Taylor was. I saw him on stage at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And his caveat was that he hadn't worked out in like 2 weeks or something, but he was mean to people.
I've never heard anybody say that about him.
It was weird because I talked to him beforehand, and he was so kind and like super gracious and really like really nice to me and everything. And I was like, "Oh, that's really nice," you know. And like he's Ari's friend, so he's nice to me or whatever. I don't know. And then he goes on stage and he is real just flat, kind of corpse like, and talking about how little fucks he gives for anybody, and then praying for people's death while they're in the room in front of him, hoping that they die on the way home from drunk driving accidents.
Wait, that's Paulie or David Taylor?
David Taylor. But then he went into Mitzi and Paulie, and he went into everybody. Correct. Yeah, he hammered out everybody. He's talking about the dark decay I thought he doesn't want to ever do comedy here again in this building, it sounds like right now.
Every set that you see David Taylor do, you're like, this could be the last time I'm ever seeing him do comedy in public.
Yeah.
This could be his farewell to everything.
He said that's what I heard about Jeselnik. He was writing on the Jeselnik offensive, and then Jeselnik has a show at the UCB once a week or two or something like that. And he did it, and he bombed like that, like he does. You know, he just embraces the bomb and starts like, fuck you. And then Jeselnik thought and was like, ooh. And then he like stopped taking his jokes. In the writer's room, when he would give out jokes, he was like, yeah, it's not that good. He was like, why all of a sudden are you not taking any of my jokes? Because he saw him bomb and he lost faith in him.
Wow, that confidence is a motherfucker. Like, that's the thing. You don't even have to be good at anything. You're just confident, though. You look at all these dudes that excel, and you're like, that guy is horrible and ethically perverse, but he's doing great because he really believes in himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, confidence. If you see a guy like Glassman or Aziz or people like that, it's like whatever level of talent they have, they have maxed it out because they're as confident now as they can be.
Yeah.
You know, they're selling whatever level of comedy they have 100%.
I mean, that's gotten Tony as far as it's gotten him in a lot of ways.
Super confident.
Not knocking anything on Tony, but it's not like, you know.
Ratch was the same way.
What's who?
Ratch. Jeff Richards.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Richards.
He would go in and be like, I'm going to kill right now.
You can't say his little nicknames and expect everybody to know who you're talking about.
He was a star.
I've got this
pet
named Ratch for. I mean, what the fuck, Ari? Get your shit together.
He had like four impressions when he was
young. This is a broadcast.
He was like four or five impressions when he was like starting out. And he's like, I am going to be a superstar. And just believed it.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? He like manifested that.
Mm-hmm. I always figure I'm going to go to jail. Like,
I'm going to prison.
It's weird. Like I see those guys with all that confidence. I'm like, God, that would be so great to have that. They just know that shit. And I'm like, I feel like I'm avoiding a bullet all the time.
Yeah. I'm always looking over my shoulder.
I know. I'm barely getting caught.
I always feel like whoever I'm talking to is wearing a wire. That's how we were just talking before you came in. A couple things I want to go over with you. One, we almost had Ren Azizi, and we had it all mapped out. You were going to stand by the door and we were going to make him puke again.
Maybe he heard about that. Did he get wind of that and then he got scared or what?
Fucking, you know who was talking to him at the store?
The cum rag.
Fucking Josh Martin. Yep. Fuck him.
And all of us were like, don't say anything to him. Let's just keep him. And then Josh Martin was talking to him.
He's a guy that just wants to get close to people, and so he'll be a snitch to get close to the guy. That
oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100% Josh Martin is a rat. He's a rat in waiting.
Oh, yeah. he's a guy that just turns on you.
Remember when, who's the guy that got fired for fucking somebody up in the cover booth and leaving their shift, and they were fucking up somebody in the upstairs cover booth?
The black guy?
Black guy.
Trey.
I think
his name's Trey.
So Josh Martin was hitting on this girl for like an hour and a half, literally an hour and a half. Like hitting on this girl. And then he goes, oh, I go to the bathroom. And Trey comes by to this girl. He goes, hey, let's go. And she just goes upstairs and blows him. And then, Josh is like, he took my girl. I was going to do it. You weren't going to do shit. An hour and a half. You were just waiting there. And it was that easy to go. You weren't going to do shit.
I had worked on there for literally like 2 hours.
Yeah, the girl's friends got mad. They came back and was like, oh, our friends, something's happened. And he was so happy that Trey was getting in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So happy about
it. Now, how'd he get in trouble?
That black bastard.
He left the ship for 2 hours to go get blown in the belly, in the upstairs cover booth. I mean, you know.
Yep, because they're like, where's Trey? And he was like somewhere, you know, like, who knows, some nook and cranny at the store with some chick.
There's all those secret passageways in there, man. That is a castle.
Yeah. There's a lot of places where you can make out with a little dime piece.
Absolutely.
That, when you started saying, when he was hitting on a girl, like, and I'd met him last night, just going through my head, and I'm like, seems like that would be impossible to have a favorable outcome for him. Like, I just couldn't imagine the girl. I'm like, what's the girl like that would be open to advances from this guy?
You would be surprised.
I would be. That's true.
That's the thing about that place. Like, eventually, if you hang out long enough,
it's true,
there's some chick that is drunk enough to make a gigantic mistake.
It was weird. There was a girl in there I saw, tight red pants on last night, dark-haired girl, super pretty. She's in the main room all night.
Yep.
And she was by herself. And as the room cleared out and there's like six people left,
yep,
she was there by herself still. And I was like, what are the, like, I know why I'm here by myself, but like, what are the choices that bring like an otherwise pretty and together human,
yep,
not super sloppy hammer or anything, all night at the Comedy Store? Like, that's,
yep,
I don't know.
All night. They won't leave.
No.
It's like, what are you still doing here?
It was wild.
Person. Yep. Now, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
Me, Ren Azizi, Ari, all three of us, no weapons, no 2x4s,
that
no
is
nothing.
A dream team, yeah.
No nothing. Could the three of us beat you up in a fight?
Oh, no, that's impossible. I mean, even if you guys were armed.
Ari thinks we could, and I don't. I totally disagree.
I mean, the only thing would be, like, Ren Azizi, I don't know well enough. He's super nice, but, like, if there was real violence, at first it'd be, if it were a thing, like,
real violence.
If it were a thing where it was like, oh, guffaw, you guys, and it was like, I got giggling or something, maybe, because it would be so hilarious, but even then, I think.
Fight to the death, you mean, like, eye gouging and shit, you're saying.
If you actually tried to hurt me, like if you did something, I was like, ooh, that kind of stuff.
We're talking about
you
adrenaline
would be
dumps.
So fucked. I mean,
no,
I don't know.
All three of us, we'd crush you.
See, he thinks all like in one way,
I mean,
shape, or form.
I would want to hug you and be nice to you, Ren Azizi. I don't know that well. Maybe I'd just smash him out right away. But like,
we're hacking three ways, though, man. We have three ways.
Yeah, I get it. No, I understand the dynamics of what
we're
you're saying.
You fucking brain.
And I believe in your confidence, but also
I like, don't. That's
I'm not
the
a guy. I'm not a guy that is like, ooh, I'm super confident or this or that or whatever. But it's like I've got three chihuahuas, okay?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then I have this fucking bull pit bull that has priors for killing animals,
right?
And we're gonna throw them all in a pen together. What happens? Like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's how I see it going down too. You
no,
seem to think different.
No. It's like a pit bull that has priors and three other pit bulls.
Shit! I wish you were right.
Three other pit bulls that love to lick other pit bulls' balls.
So Ari, real quick, I think Tate and I talked about it briefly last night, but when we met, you had a Band-Aid on your arm because you were worried that anal sex gave you herpes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unprotected anal sex.
Which end of the anal sex were you on, bro?
Good question.
Fuck you.
So,
I want to say before we move on, the only way that you guys could have made me more comfortable with the three-way fight scene is if, like, you would have supplanted Steve with Duncan Trussell or something. It's like,
I think that's a push.
You picked, like, three of the
That
best.
Would be a push.
Like,
you don't understand.
Where would you be completely confident with
where
what
I go
three
to
men?
All fours and people are going to push you over me. And then you're on your back.
Yeah, we're going to do that old move.
Imagine,
I'm going to get on my hands
imagine
and knees
how badly
you.
That would hurt if I came down with my full body weight on your little limp anemic body and crushed you.
What That'd would be your
book? Okay. You just give us a key piece of fighting information.
Three of us we're in an octagon. Cage doors locked. Three of us are standing on one side, you're on the other side. What's your go-to move? Right out the gate. What do you do? You try to take out the toughest one?
I would wave at the crowd and I would really try to get them on my side because if you're going to hurt somebody that badly, you want crowd support and you want to know that you're just a nice guy and that it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you go to jail. I mean, it's like you
know, otherwise so you want to look like the good guy while you're
just
devastating.
I was just minding my own business and got attacked. Your haircut looks really good, by the way, Ari.
I gotta get a cut. I'm gonna get a cut as soon as it's
I wouldn't change a thing.
You kind of look like a Jewish clown.
Shut.
Like a clown. Like can you juggle?
Yeah, I can juggle.
Can you really juggle?
Hey, you want to know juggling? Holy fuck. I was in Bogota, and you know, we got, I don't know, Ari feels a certain way about homeless people, but they go and they panhandle at the stoplights. And so at the stoplight, we're all in a van. And I'm in the front seat of the van. And these guys, and it's fucking raining. They come out and they're in tank tops. So in between the light, it turns red. These guys are over by the lamp pole. One guy goes into a squat. Another guy jumps on his shoulders. Another guy climbs up the lamp pole and jumps on his shoulders. And then they all stand up. So they're three deep high.
Okay.
And then he walks over to the middle of the street right in front of our truck. They're all standing on top of the shoulders. It's crazy. And then the fourth guy, he lights torches. And he hands them all to them. So they all have three torches, and they're all fucking juggling in the middle of the street, three stories high.
All standing on each other's shoulders?
At the red light, on each other's shoulders. And it's wet, it's rainy, and their feet are, like, sliding on the... It was fucking badass. And then the dismount comes, and the guy on the bottom, he goes into a full squat all the way to the bottom. The one guy jumps off with the other guy on him, then the other guy jumps off. It was like seamless. It was like Cirque du Soleil on the fucking side of the goddamn road.
Wow.
And I just thought, you fucking homeless, sloppy motherfuckers in America had better up your game, because I just saw that at the stoplight. Like, it was wild, man.
I saw a guy the other night that had on Hollywood Boulevard, had a sign. He's just laying on the street, and he's got a sign. And all his sign said is, need money for bullets. I was like, that's pretty dope. Need money for bullets.
I wonder if you could just strangle somebody, like, just go at him and have it be okay. He wanted that release.
Maybe. Now, our other question we had.
Okay. What was the first question? Oh, the fight.
Could the three of us win in a fight? Yeah. And you think there's absolutely no way whatsoever.
We'd easily beat him, I think, like what I heard.
Easily, yes.
He honestly believes that the three of us.
That. He's a
comedian. No,
he did. Before you were here.
One of us might die, but Tate's going down.
Wow. Before you were here, he really was serious about it. And I really
I
think
feel
there's
like
no
I could
way.
Really do anything I wanted.
I feel like there's no way, any way, shape, or form. That
I mean, I know that you can suffer pain, but I think one leg kick, what that would do to your consciousness for the rest of your life,
I would cry.
That would stay with you forever.
That's the problem. I would think about it a lot. Our pain tolerance is way lower than Tate's. Our pain, our level of ability
you have
to take
zero
anything,
threshold.
Like, we would just be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have any threshold.
You know, like one punch, I would just start crying, and then and you're right. I would think about it for a long time.
Yeah,
like,
but
for
you know what you guys
years, I'd be like, remember when that guy punched me and it hurt so bad?
Yeah. You haven't considered the fucking lightning bolt.
No, I haven't. Iron Fist Ari.
He did beat up Bobby Lee. He did beat up Bobby Lee twice.
Yeah, but Bobby Lee remained standing.
Lightning bolt!
Okay. That sounded like some Nazi shit.
So our second question is, who would win in a fight with you and Rogan?
Oh, come on.
Now, Ari's point is, you know, and but everybody stay off the Twitter bullshit. Don't start tweeting at Rogan. We're trying to cause any drama. We're not.
I'm going
to
say the fans.
Yeah. But, the fans would win.
Who would win that fight?
But Ari and I disagree what would happen with us. But with Rogan, who, by the way, is another trained killer.
Yeah, I would never, like,
he's
I've seen
a killer. But you outweigh him so much, and you have such a reach advantage. That would be a real fight. Ours would be like a joke, and all three of us would be in a pile like puppies, crying.
I would never.
I said you would take it, no problem. You outweigh him by way too much.
Rogan's kicks are insane.
He is fucking, his ground is like, he's a great jiu-jitsu guy, but like, his striking is really phenomenal.
Yeah, and he has like a taekwondo background.
He's kicked bags, and I've seen a lot of people and been kicked by a lot of people and all that, and I'm like, that looks like horrible. It looks horrible.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying it would be a horrible thing to get kicked by Joe Rogan.
So what are you saying, though?
I would not let him kick me.
How about we... Okay, I see where you're going with that. What about this? Ari, me, Renazizi, and Joe Rogan against you.
Well, that'd be horrible.
Now do we
now,
have a chance?
Now you have a warlord that is practiced at dominating people. And if you guys listen to him, yes, absolutely, there's a chance.
I think Tate would beat Rogan. He would lie on top of Rogan with his fat fucking frame, Tate.
And
he
knows
would
how
smother
to,
him out
he knows
so
how,
much.
He knows how to finish it. You know what I mean? He knows how to finish the party.
Yeah. Like, we would just be, like, distracting you. So then Rogan can come in the second wave. And just fucking start
lighting. Why do they always do
up?
That? Why do they have the big boss come in at the end and all these fucking underlings have to get killed?
Yeah.
Big boss, come
we
out
would
right
be,
away.
Yeah, we would be the underlings and then Rogan would be like the guy at the end of the level
all
in
these
a video
guys
game.
Fight Bruce Lee. Fucking let the teachers fight him and let the students learn how to fucking do it before they take on Bruce fucking Lee.
I feel like they have to walk through the fire, Ari. Okay?
No, no.
Life isn't easy.
And it shows in the results. They all got beat up by Bruce Lee.
And they were all better for it. You didn't see the scope of their whole lives.
They That's died. True. He killed like a bunch of them.
They died.
It wasn't the Holocaust. It was a fist fight, Ari.
Dude, yeah. What's up with Cayman? You guys are opening stores now. Cayman Coffee.
Yeah, we got some stuff going on. I was just
That's
in
amazing.
New York.
I just heard that.
I was trying to see Ari Shaffir, but he won't return a tweet, you know?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Dude, don't piss him off. You're in New York. I'm the one here that's going to get my face lit up like a Christmas tree.
Maybe
you know, we were just in New York.
Me?
We got stuff coming up there. We got a little place in Chelsea right now.
And what?
Then, we got a little, like, a coffee shop in Chelsea.
I didn't see any of these tweets.
Oh, well, that was weird. I was out there because Extra TV did an interview on Cayman Coffee. And so I was
when
there for that.
Here?
About a week and a half ago.
What?
Yeah. I thought you were in China or something, maybe.
Oh, maybe I was in London. But
oh, you were in London. Two weeks ago?
Something
like
that.
That was like the 10th. I think I was there until the 10th or 11th or 12th.
I think it was the 19th or something like that.
No, I was here. What
oh,
the fuck?
Right before Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just forgot to talk to you at all.
But nonetheless.
But I was only there about a day and a half or something like that. I came in for the interview, and then we set up this thing. There's we're going to be open on Lexington Avenue right across from Grand Central Station. We'll have another standalone shop there, and then down on Broadway.
Question for Tate.
Yeah, brother. Yeah.
Okay. Let me preface this by saying I'm stoked for you that you fucking committed
Just
to this.
Just say the mean thing. Say the mean thing that you're going to say. Go ahead.
It's not mean. But I do like that you took on a business and you said, let's fucking try it. And you tried it and you really are successful at it. What's the story with tea?
With what?
Tea.
Tea.
There's tea. We got matcha, yerba mate and shit. We have tea.
Great. These are good answers. Expound.
Keith is a real, he loves to source stuff and look for stuff and talk to people. So he goes around to all the people that he can find and emails and he finds their story and where they get their products from, and then he looks at doing cooperative business endeavors
cool.
with them.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's where the tea came from, is because he really wanted to do that. The way he does it, he blends it with butter and MCT and all that, and he's gone off coffee completely for weeks at a time because he got so into the tea. And
yeah,
then
I've been
he,
so into tea, and I don't like caffeine, so tea is like a great option.
Well, he said he's
shit.
more energized with it, too, that he's got a better reaction with his body.
Yeah, and I went to China, and I had all these like tea houses, and they have like you know, dried pieces of like orange and rose petal and all this stuff. And it's like, wow, these flavors are amazing.
Yeah, they're able to do so. We just did a cold brew concentrate with coffee. And you can get infusers where there's like it looks like a beer distillery thing. This machine, and you can pack in cinnamon or orange or whatever into these things, and you get these essences in there that are all natural into whatever you want to brew. Which is it's
natural.
It's cool, man. We're just having fun and learning a lot of stuff. You know,
that's cool. Where's the one in Chelsea? I'll go by.
I think it's on 17th Street. I want to say it's right at Brick CrossFit in New York City.
Well, then I definitely don't know where it is.
Yeah, you can go down there and work out. CrossFit. You can get a workout in.
I don't know any of those places.
Referencing a CrossFit that, like, as a landmark to Ari.
I'll tweet you right now, Ari, you son of a bitch.
Right.
Exactly.
It's at this address.
So how many stores do you have now?
Well, we just did one in Santa Fe at my gym, Undisputed, and we've got... That's been running like 2 months or something. Mm-hmm. The place in Chelsea we've been at for about 8 months. This thing in Grand Central just came up. We'll be in Chicago on Broadway. We're going to open a store in Venice here. And that all by like July we're looking at.
And that's cool, man. Start making coffee and now you're successful at it.
Oh, and then so Lacey's on Mission Impossible right now, and she's met these other guys in England. That's where they're filming, and they want to do a Cayman Coffee England. And so she's setting up some stuff out there, and maybe we have more of a presence in Europe as well.
Nice, man.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Hey, what about this?
What is that? I can't see it. Can you get that closer?
Yeah. Why are you wrapping it up?
Oh, I see what that is. Yeah, that's your cock and balls, and you seem to be smashing it against your screen.
Where'd your pants go?
They're around. They're right here.
Right. Oh,
I see the pants.
Surprise,
yeah.
It's like a jail cell.
Those fucking, what are you, a globetrotter?
You get those fucking... from your dad?
I know.
I'm taking this party in my bed.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
No, I'm just like, I want to do this with that.
Yeah, your hair really
You shouldn't
is
exercise
out of
at all.
Your best shape of your life, true or false, Ari?
True.
Really?
I find that hard to believe. I find it very hard to believe.
Straight face.
So let's get to the fucking results,
man. Are you smoking yet?
What?
Do you smoke cigarettes yet?
No.
Okay. I was just going to say the amount of decay that I'm seeing in front of me, I just figured that maybe you did. I don't know.
I just need a haircut.
Okay.
You is that it? That's what that's it is. That's all it is? All right. That's all it is? So.
It's the Lord. You I've been getting fat. I've gotten shape. I ate a lot of salad leading up to my specials and my tape. And then I was like, now I get to like be the other way.
Yeah.
Tripoli thinks he's in the worst shape of his life. He thinks this is the worst he's ever been. But
I
disagree.
I would agree with the last 7 years for him.
No, I think when
it's
he came back
with the last 7 years.
I think when he came back from the Monsters tour, he was in the worst shape.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean by time with the last 7 years, because at that time he was awful.
Right. I saw Jason Rouse over Christmas Eve, I saw him.
Yeah.
And he told a funny story of like you guys were on this tour and you're gonna cross into Canada. So it's Ari, Sam, Jason Rouse and Chris Neff are doing like did it like 22 shows in 30 days
right
from here to Canada. And by the time they got to the border, like everybody's like smoking pot and doing coke and drinking Jägermeister in the car that they had to cross over. So they hid on the American side. They stashed all their booze and drugs
right
and did a fucking like a GPS pin on their phone for it. Cross over into Canada. Gig, and then when they came back, like, looked up where they hid their shit like a fucking treasure.
So fun.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun. And we found it. It was right there. It really was like a treasure. Like, I don't know. It's like, take a left here.
Where did you guys cross?
What?
Where did you cross?
And right before Vancouver.
Okay.
I don't know where. Somebody said, like, we're in Seattle, and we're like, oh, we got to give away all our pot. And the guy's like, no, leave it at the last AM, PM.
Yeah, we would go to Windsor. Across the river from Detroit, but you just go to the train station. I was going to say, and that's we'd put our guns in the train station,
your guns,
lock box, and then you'd drive across and you'd party in Canada, and then come back and everything's fine.
Why did you have guns?
You need stuff when you're a kid, you know.
PCOB, bro,
so dangerous.
PCOB.
They're the nicest police ever. There, we were geeking on acid. We were probably, I don't know, maybe a tab and a half acid, and. The guy that I'm with, he's screaming at the top. Every bar we get kicked out of, he starts screaming, born in the USA, at the top of his lungs.
Uh-huh.
So that was really popular. And then I was driving this old pickup truck. I was on the wrong side of the road. It's fucking winter. And then there's cops ahead of us. And I'm on the wrong side of the road because I want to take a left in the gas station. And so I've just crossed over. I made it easier. There's some snow, whatever. I'm on acid. And I see the cops. And then we just pull over and I park right on the sidewalk. And we get out like nothing's happening. Like maybe they can't. We're invisible.
Sure.
And they're like, hey, excuse me. Excuse me. And they're the kindest, sweetest police officers I ever saw in my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk to them. I went right into the store. And they just waited for us outside. And then we talked on the way out. And I was kind of like, what do you want? And then my friend was like, hey, we're looking for a party. Which I thought he's going to know we're fucked up.
Yeah.
Because that would be the tell right there, not the other stuff. And they told us where not to go. They said, you don't want to go down to this place, though. It's the only place open, but that's where all the black Americans are. And I was like, these nice,
really?
Sweet Canadians
wow.
are as racist as anybody.
Wow.
Even said black Americans.
And then
like
we said, that is exactly what we're looking for. Thank you very much. What's the address? And then we went and had a great night for the rest of the night.
Were there a lot
With
of black guys
Americans?
There?
What's that?
With the black Americans?
Yeah, and Chinese.
So it was like all just black guys hitting on white chicks.
It's whatever, you know? Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
18.
Nine.
I
was nine. I had to go back and get my gun. Why did you have a gun? Why did you have a gun?
Oh, it's just a colorful past, Tebow.
Wow. Wow. Now let me up the ante on the fight.
Yeah.
Me, Renazizi. No, there's no guns, but a gun would help. Me, Renazizi, Ari. Keith Jardine.
Is he on my side or your side?
Our side versus you and Rogan.
Ooh,
that's
But we get Jardine.
It's a good stack right there.
It is a good stack.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Keith and Tate could fight to... I mean, they they'd fight for a while. And then we'd be like, Rogan, come on, man. You helped us so much. We're like, bam!
Yeah.
That would be awful.
You and Rogan just
It would have
to
be a
back.
Big room. How big's the room we're in?
Like, it's about the
back
size of this room.
Where you are right now. Where you guys are right now.
We would do it in this room.
You guys would be fucked. Off.
We can grab anything we want and, like, use it as a...
You'd be in a bad way. Because there's real threats in the room now, and then you would just have to be dispatched of permanently.
What is that? That sounds so painful.
I mean, I'm just saying, like...
I gotta get dispatched of permanently? What does that even mean? That sounds so painful. That does sound painful.
Keith's the other guy that you don't want to get kicked by.
I don't want him to do anything to me at all. I don't want anybody. I don't want Ari
to. It's crazy. He's so goddamn nice. He's, hey, how are you doing? Like, everybody's picture of him is like blood dripping from his goatee.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, how are you guys doing, man? You guys having a good time? Like, just super nice and soft spoken and everything. And then devastating.
Do you have thoughts on the fights this weekend?
Yeah, they're going to be exciting, man.
Great ones.
I'm excited, man. For both Cowboy and for John Jones, I think it would be great.
Agree with that. I love Cerrone, dude. He called into the show.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Cool.
He was driving around in his truck just like before his last fight. Ari got him to call in. He's such a fucking cool guy.
Yeah, he's dope, man. He's a really, really good guy.
And, dude, when that guy takes your back, you're in trouble.
He's very dangerous.
Dude, he gets that in, and it, I mean, that guy.
He's probably, he's like, I don't know, he's like pound for pound probably the best guy all around in the gym.
Who?
Like he's
Who?
Donald Cerrone.
Really?
Like he's super talented. Yeah. Like his striking, his wrestling, his jiu-jitsu, like
yep.
He's really, really wicked talented.
Yep. He's one of those guys that's like a B plus or better at everything.
Yeah.
You know? There's certain guys that are like, yeah man, his striking's good. You know, he's working on his BJJ or like, you know, his like fucking jiu-jitsu's great, but his wrestling's weak. He's like a guy that's
he's really good.
Well-rounded at everything.
And it's so, like, he's so without any kind of ego about training. Like, a lot of guys won't go outside of their school to train or whatever. And he'll go wherever and just to move around with guys.
Yeah, he's just really into thing after a while. Like, you kind of know everybody you roll with.
Yeah.
You know how they're going to, what their moves are, they go to.
He's into
what they
learning,
don't, so they don't really surprise
really
you after a while.
Yeah.
And you then need a surprise.
There's all the setups, too. It's like, there's the dudes that you've smashed 10,000 times or whatever. And so they just accept that that's kind of going to, they're going to give you a tough role and it's going to go like, or whatever. And it's like, you get with guys in a room that's their room and it's like everybody's trying to kill you. And so you're at a different level really of your, of how real the adrenaline is and how much you really need to be as good as you can be.
Right. What are your thoughts on the Jones fight?
Boy, he took him down so fast in that press conference. I don't know.
Everyone's making a big deal out of that. Everyone's making a big deal out of that bullshit.
He like tripped backwards off the stage. He's like, I took you down in like 3 seconds, dude.
It's like, come on.
There's no step in the octagon.
I know.
I love that. That press conference was awesome, though, man. I thought it looked great. And like for what had happened there, and kind of, I don't. If you see that as like an insult, like the way Cormier came up and then the way Jones reacted to it, I loved it, man. Like, he'll just bomb on you right there. When I saw his arm come up in the air, and I was like, oh, good on you, John.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you're in a position where people are going to break you up. You're safe, as it were. But you're fucking not. Like, it doesn't mean you can act like a dickhead just because there's cameras there. And like,
who are you talking about right now?
I think when Cormier went up and tried to brace him like that, it's like, you're going to get a result from that, you know?
Yep.
I think you saw it, too. There was a scene where Rashad and Rampage was when they were doing the Ultimate Fighter deal, and Quentin was, you know, he's real a great showman, and he is yapping a bunch of stuff and this and that, and Rashad kind of was like, oh, well, this is at the point where when two men are speaking to each other this way, you get after it. And so he kicks his flip-flops off. He's like, all right, well, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, Quentin's whole visage just changes. And he's like, oh, no, we were just doing this because we're on TV right now.
Yeah, I thought we were
like,
doing our thing.
And not that Quentin, I don't think, it was scared or whatever, but it's like he was so doing something differently than where Rashad's head was at. And it's like there's dudes that are like that. It's like it's not – a game. It's not this or that. Do that to the Diaz brothers and see what happens. Those guys are literally fighting for their lives whenever they get in the cut. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a different thing, man.
Yeah, with them it is different. I mean, even like that last fight where Nate didn't make weight.
Right.
And he's like, I don't give a fuck. Let's fight. Take 10% of my purse or whatever, but let's fucking fight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to fight. I'm not here for all this yippy-yappy bullshit. You know? They're great. I think they're great for the sport.
Yeah, they are.
They're great for the sport because they're such dicks, but that's just who they are. And it's just who they are.
You know, they demand respect in that way. They demand, like, what their pay is due. They're like, they look at, like, kind of nominal boxers and what those guys are getting, and they're like, if we're the best guys in the world at this, why are we not being recompensed in a similar way? Like, right. This isn't. And there's nothing after this, and it's the only place to go. It's like there's a lot of lumps that need smoothing out as far as mixed martial arts goes.
Yep. Yep. I can see that.
And I really love what his comments were. Did you hear his comments about the wrestler guy coming in?
No. What? Oh, CM Punk.
Yeah. And he was just like, he's like, all these guys, man, they're idiots that are all going, I'd like to welcome you in. And it's like a bunch of, you know, smaller name guys in the UFC, like, let me welcome you in. And he's like, dude, you're not making a name for yourself by beating up an amateur.
Yeah.
He's like, you're getting $5,000 still to fight while he's going to make $1,000,002.
Yeah.
Like, you're not helping yourself. Like, you're just helping him.
Don't you think it helps your overall, like, name get out there for more people? More people are going to see that fight than the one right before it.
Sure.
I agree with that, Ari. I agree with that.
That's true. But then at the same time, I mean, it's a point of pride, really, in the way that Nate was talking about it, which I agree with. It's like, I've worked to get where I am, and a guy with absolutely zero fights ever gets to come in to
who's also 36, 35, 36, 36 years something old, like that.
Comes into the highest echelon of the sport,
yeah,
with zero experience. He's a blue belt or a white belt with 4 stripes in jiu-jitsu or something, and has little to no striking experience.
Probably wrestled in college.
It's
or something.
Ridiculous. Nope.
Not even at a high level. Really?
Nope. Uh-uh.
Really?
Uh-uh. No, and not to say that he's not athletic or great
at
what he does.
Is he going to be on the undercard or prelims?
I would think that he would be probably on the main card. I mean,
That
seems wrong to me.
He would be on the
main
card.
It's wrong that he's there at all. It's not
you don't want amateur stuff being in there. But I remember when what's his name, with the beard was fighting, and those other guys started getting pissed. Like, he's our champion in Strikeforce. And
who?
They were like, let me have a shot at him.
Who are you talking about?
The Street Fighter.
Kimbo Slice?
Kimbo, yeah.
And all these guys are like, you know, you keep giving him these easy guys, let me fucking fight him. I'm done with this already. It's not the same thing as with
he
CM.
Got dealt with a
right,
few times.
Right,
right.
CM Punk's not being billed as like a champion.
In a lot of ways, you saw that with Brock Lesnar. Like,
but that was a Division I monster that was
Division
an actual
monster,
athlete.
But you saw how much he did not like to get his face touched.
Well, or when he got kicked in the liver when Alistair, that changed his life. He goes, that can happen?
Yeah, that changed his life, too. But his, when people, like, he's getting fucking ground and pounded, hammer fisted. Like, you saw how little he liked to have his face touched.
Yeah, that was when Shane Carwin beat him up that whole round.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, you would just see him, like, doing, like, shit that I would do if I was in a street fight. Like, stop hitting me in the face. Like, he didn't have that kind of, like, like chin tucked.
No.
Chin tucked to the shoulder. Like, I'm used to getting my face touched. That's what I've, you know, and you're going to see that with this other guy, too, I think.
I think it's unfriendly to do to a guy, in a way. Like, he's willing to do it. It's, like, stupid. It's, like, there's a lot of guys. They used to do that for King of the Cage. This guy that ran that, if there was a guy that dropped out of a fight, he would literally go to the fucking bowling alley and go, that guy looks like he's about 120 pounds. Hey, dude, you look like a tough kid. What are you up to? You want to fight? I'll give you $400 to come over. And he would get guys off the street like that the day of the fight to go and weigh in and fight guys that were trained athletes. And it's like, so then you debase your brand. You know what I mean? Yeah, you've got bum fights.
Do you think?
Which is okay. Now, here's what I don't mind CM Punk going. I want to try mixed martial arts. It's
sure.
Like, yeah, that's cool, man. But I don't know about being in the highest level. Of
yeah, there's starter leagues for that. I think you should go try too, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like if you're really serious about it.
Yeah.
But it's like then again, and you're like, man, it is a business.
And he is a big name. It's all a business. That's what it is. Or something like that, or World Series of Fighting. He's kind of too big a name for that.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like saying, okay, Michael Jordan is a great basketball player, but he really, really, what he really loves is football.
Well, baseball.
Do you let him go play? Do you let him go play for the Raiders then and go? No, yeah, you just walk on.
Michael Jordan did that when he went and played baseball after his dad died.
Right,
he went and played minor league baseball for like $1,000 a week. Granted, he bought a $6 million bus for the team to ride in because he wasn't riding in some rinky-dink shit.
Right.
But he really did do that. But he had all the money, and he's like, I always wanted to play baseball. I'm going to go play minor league baseball.
And he respected the game enough that he goes, I'll get in where I can be competitive, not I'm going to get in where I'm a guppy and there's sharks that are swimming here.
Right. I mean, he was never going to go like – but, I mean, this CM Punk thing, it's just like I look forward – to him getting beat up.
Really?
As a matter of fact, if it was me, Ari, Ren Azizi, Keith Jardine versus you and CM Punk, I think we could win that one. I think you and Rogan would beat us.
Yeah, I got
but
less
you
faith.
And Punk, yeah, you and CM Punk, I think us and
I
Jardine.
I can't believe you guys all want to beat me up so fucking bad. This is bullshit.
No, we're just wondering
it's like,
what
you know what,
take.
I'm sitting and Joey Diaz is sitting across from me and the first thing he says, there's this guy,
last
huge,
night?
Yeah, there's a guy that's like 6'9 or something that walks by and he goes, holy fuck, he's like, I'd have to get a stick for you, brother, or something like I'm going to have to beat you with a club weapon.
Yeah.
To be able to deal with you, because Joey's in that kind of physical condition that would help him at all anyway. But the thing is like that his first expression is, yeah, I think that I'm going to have to do violence to you. He's just a guy that's taller than you.
Yeah.
You don't have to grab a stick right away.
Well,
what
yeah,
the
because
fuck?
That's be-
Why is every weak-ass motherfucker's first expression like, I wonder what I'm going to do. Do I got to hit him with my car?
Yeah.
Or what? Like,
uh-huh.
That is a
because
real
when
tell
you're...
about your psyche. I think, God, you poor fucking dude.
Yeah, but don't you think that's just like being like a human man? Where you're like, hey, man,
I would say
survival
go,
thing.
Go get some actual training and understand what it is. I've never walked into a room and go, wonder how I'm going to have to deal with that guy if it goes south. Like, I just kind of am confident that I'm going to be safe wherever
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, because you're an assassin.
But that,
yeah, I don't even think of those terms at all. I'm just like, oh, we're in his room. It's a cool room.
Yeah, it's a right. weird thing, I think. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's the same thing. Like,
it's like if a Navy sniper comes in. Like, here's a SEAL guy. He's got 100 kills. Like, oh, shit, maybe I'll just kill him right now. Like, is that what you think?
No. But a guy like that comes in, and I'm like, if push comes to shove,
about every other country, if they pose any threat to us, we have to just kill them all.
Yep. Like, but a guy like that's in the room, and you're like, man. And especially if he's being aggressive, you go like, this guy is a trained killer. What would I do to survive if I needed to?
Yeah, everybody wants to turn into the fucking bar scene at Unforgiven. Where he's having a drink and he's like, I have to shoot the best shot first. And it's like, dude, that shit doesn't happen.
I mean, it's the same thing as like with
Roadhouse.
Chicks.
With Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Listen, Dalton. Sick of
Dalton.
This shit.
I got a boot with a switchblade that comes out of the fucking thing. But it's the same thing with pussy where it's like, you can look at a girl and be like, automatically in your head, would you or wouldn't you fuck her? Without ever having any intention of fucking her ever.
Sure.
But you automatically run it through the computer.
Yeah.
Like, man, I would never fuck her. You know, maybe I'd fuck her. I'd let her suck my
dick. But,
you know,
yeah.
You go through all that when
but
nothing
is less on the mind than fucking.
And that's a win-win for everybody. I'm not going through life thinking about hurting people.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm you with your great big dick, maybe that's a different thing, you know, where you're just destroying vaginas.
Rearranging organs. That's what I call it. I'm going to rearrange some organs in this one.
Or Ari. I know Ari. I mean, will you show us your dick again?
Yeah, let's see. Hey, how's the bump on the dick? Can we get to this?
Yeah, well, hold on. First, I want to show you this.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
It looks younger than you are.
Oh, no. Ah, why?
Whoa, it's opening up. That's like a vagina.
God.
You have anal lips. Those are.
I tried to push a little fart out, but I couldn't get it out.
No, I'm really
That's what it looks like when you fart?
It was like. But it was like I was.
How do you
shit.
Have pussy lips? You have vertical pussy lips on your anus.
Shit. Your asshole does look like a fucking terrible pussy.
Show us that again.
Oh no, Tate, you're one of our guests that actually doesn't mind. Usually it shuts
this
people
is
down.
Fascinating.
This is the worst.
Look at this.
It's not fascinating at all.
Look at that.
It looks
like
that.
A
horrible.
Oh,
pussy.
Look at that right there, right there.
Oh no, oh, God, that's the worst.
It looks like you've been fucked with a knife. Jesus
it does
Christ.
Look like you've been fucked with a knife.
I mean, it's healed up nicely, but good Lord.
So what happened with your dick? So you had to take an STD test. You're going to get the results in 3 days. It's been more than 3 days.
Yeah, what's
give us an update on the bump on your cock and what's going on.
And who gave it to
with
you?
With your STD.
Well, I got it from, it was the herpes. I got it from this girl that I fucked with. Well, I noticed it right after anal sex.
You have it on your, anus? That's what we were seeing? We were seeing it on your anus then, just now?
No. Shut up. Not herpes. It is a penile tear from fucking my head, my fat head pulling too hard against the fucking ass.
Oh, against the dry vagina.
So by fucking a dry asshole.
Yeah, I pulled a little, like popped some blood vessels or something.
You injured your dick.
Uh huh.
And it is not an STD. And you are still STD free.
It's an STI.
That's what they changed.
Sexually transmitted injury.
Is that what it's called?
No.
No, that's what I just made up.
Infection. They changed. Didn't they change STD to something sneaky like that?
No, it's
so
not
that you don't feel like you got AIDS.
Come on. Sexually transmitted injury.
Okay. It's not like you're a sports guy and you got injured. Like.
Yeah, that's all it is. And it's just it was just a scab from a fucking cut, and now it's almost all healed.
Do you get Ebola in that when you have
no nothing? It was nothing. I don't have any diseases at all. I couldn't believe it.
Did you call her and tell her?
Yeah, I had to call all these girls back.
How many girls did you call?
Like 4 different people.
Why?
Why? Why did you call them before you knew
anything? You didn't know anything. You're like, hey, I'm a dirtbag. Just wanted you to know.
Yeah, you're totally right.
What the fuck?
Keep in mind, I was positive it was herpes. I mean, I looked online. I looked at what I had. I looked online. I'm like, this matches some of the herpes pictures.
Everything matches, though. Like, you get online enough, you got AIDS.
No, but not everything
matches. I thought
matches.
It was just the sniffles. And all of a sudden, I've got hepatitis
C. Like, a light case of herpes.
A light case.
Yeah.
Even if you're a borderline.
Fever associated with it.
Are there heavy cases?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Look up some pictures right now. Herpes.
You don't have to show us pictures. You just show us your balls.
So, you call these girls and you're like, hey, just so you know, I'm a hypochondriac.
No.
And I'm
said,
a little
listen,
worried
I,
that
yeah.
I might have something, so I'll call you back in 4 days.
Or you're like, 100% I've got herpes. You
no,
should
I said,
be
no,
careful.
I said 90%. I was like, you know, who knows for sure, but it's like, I'm pretty positive it's herpes. I mean, it looks
what
like
what were
a
the
scam.
Responses you got?
No, let me be one of the girls. I'm answering the phone right now. Hello, I thought I'd never hear from you again.
Hey, well, as you know, this conversation go one of two directions. Either I could be calling you to hook up again.
Which I hope that's not the case. What's the other reason?
Well, you're going to wish that was the case because you probably have herpes.
What do you mean I have herpes?
Well, I have herpes and we fucked within the last month. And so you probably have herpes too. Maybe you don't. Maybe I got it from someone after you, but
you told me that you were fine not using a condom. You talked me out of using a condom. And now you're telling me that I might have herpes?
Yes.
Is that where you hang up? You just hang up.
If you're going to be mean about this, I'm not going to do it. That's how girls would act. No, I just like, I'll take the abuse. I mean, I did the same thing when I had chlamydia. I had to make those phone calls. And it's just,
I remember
you
that.
Just got to take the abuse.
And are they
just me? It's like nobody gives it to anybody.
Are they mad?
Fucked. You're doing the same act we all do, and then you happen to get it before the outbreak happened, and then you gave it to someone else. That's what happens. No one, you're not doing anything on purpose. You gave this to me.
You're so
and the
angry.
People who have herpes and don't tell anybody, yeah, they gave it to you.
Wow, you're really upset. You're really upset for a guy that has got nothing. You're totally clean.
So I had to call these girls back and be like, okay, the test results are in, and. Fine.
And then what did they say?
One girl's like, cool, you want to fuck?
She said that?
Yeah. We had sex that night.
Nice. Like
yeah.
Anal?
With a condom.
Anal?
Oh, you used a condom?
What, now, why'd you switch up and go to a condom?
Different. Because it's like, I was really positive I had herpes.
But you don't.
I was like, well, I had a good run. I started fucking like heavily at about 27. And, you know, I had a good 12, 13 year run. And, yeah. This is bound to happen. I guess I got lucky that it happened so late.
Is it because you're in New York City now and people are filthy there?
I mean, I had come to terms with it. I was like, fuck, well, all right, I guess I'm going to have to tell girls before we fuck or just not have sex anymore.
Ugh.
So then it's like, well, I got a second chance. So it's like, I've got to use a condom at least for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You should tell girls everything. You should say, I've had chlamydia and I had a herpes scare, but I'd really like to have sex with you also this evening.
And not use a condom. And side note, my asshole looks like a knife wound.
Side note.
You are going to fuck two more times with the condom, and then you're right back to no condoms. I guarantee
it. Yeah, you're a no-gi guy. You're not going to go.
You're a no-gi guy. You are a no-gi.
You're not going to the Mundials and be like, oh, let's play a kimono game. You're like, I'm Abu Dhabi all the way, dude. I don't even wear a rash guard.
You are no-gi, true and true. 100%. Tate, what movies are you working on? Two movies I saw in a two-week period, like went to see them at the theater. Both of them I didn't even know you were in.
So cool.
And like, bam, there's Tate. And then bam, there's fucking Tate again.
Yeah, that was rad. That was the coolest thing was that there's like two huge, huge films like John Wick and The Equalizer both. And they were out at the same time. And in both of them, I was like, this is fucking neat, yeah, man. It was cool.
You get fucking awesome with the Denzel.
It was rad. Yeah, that was really
huge
great,
fucking
man.
Fight. He kills
felt
you.
Felt really lucky. That was awesome.
Then I'm watching John Wick, and you die in an awesome way.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Keanu, fuck
John, don't ruin it for me.
Well, I'll let you know how you die. Wick? What's that?
You saw John Wick?
Dude, it was really good.
I heard it was awesome. Everybody
is
says
that the apocalypse
great
one?
No. That's like the.
He's a mobster. He's a hitman for the mob, and then he wants out, but they fucking kill his dog.
Yeah.
And so then he goes, and he's got to kill
that's
everybody.
Denzel?
Yeah, no, that was John Wick,
Keanu Reeves.
I thought it was like apocalypse, something to do with the apocalypse. Like,
No. It's Russian mafia kills Keanu Reeves' dog. Keanu Reeves, for the next 90 minutes, kills 300 Russians.
Oh, that's cool.
And dude, it's like the
action, gun, kung fu, fucking
as a dude
death
movie, it's the best. If you remove all the action and like all that, maybe the script's four pages. Maybe there's 70 words said in this
Keanu
movie.
Yeah, Keanu doesn't. He's not too verbose anyway. Like, but
maybe 70 words are
he's
said
rad,
in this movie.
Man. That was cool.
It's like they kill this dog, and you're like,
that movie at all?
You're like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. And then he's just like killing everybody. And then all of a sudden, I see Tate come around the corner with a gun. And I'm like, oh, this guy's in this movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I gotta go.
Kills you in a cool way too.
Yeah. So, do you try to see all the movies you're in?
I would if I could. I was in Colombia when that came out, so I didn't get to see that one. But it was cool. I went to the Equalizer with my mom. Like, yeah, like if I can go and I can take my mom to the movie and I'm in it, like, it was cool. We did that. The first time I did that was in Jonah Hex, and that's the worst fucking movie that they ever made. And I almost – it was like I was like so excited, and then I was like I almost had to leave. Like, I would have left if I were by myself, but my mom was there with me. But watching The Equalizer, man, that was rad because it was big. I was really present in it, and it was a cool deal.
Yeah, huge fight scene.
Yeah.
How long did it take to do all that, like, choreography with him?
Maybe 3 days total, I guess, something like that.
Of just working with you and him?
From the inception of, like, let's work out the beats of what we want the fight to be, and then it was probably a full day working with D on his parts of it, and then another day working with his stunt double.
Is he a cool guy?
Really cool, man. Yeah, he's great.
Like, can you like joke with him and fuck around with him, or is he?
I
want to
fuck around with him, but you could joke with him. Like, he's just a cool guy, and he's been around for a long time. He knows what he wants, and super professional. I think it was nicer for me. Like, some guys had a rough time, I think, with it, but I was on Two Guns with him too, and so there's kind of a familiarity. And all his dudes, like, he's rad. Like, the guys that are with him have been with him for 20 years, and like his makeup,
like
his hairstylist,
like,
and his security guy, and we'd all built a rapport before, and so it's cool. It's like family at a certain point, you know?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, he was really great.
Okay, wait, hold on. While we have Tate in the studio,
yeah, you know, it's a big event for you. I know.
Can you break down what we should look for in the Cormier Jones fight?
What you should be looking for? Well, I think the big thing is that you've got a really high level wrestler who that's all he can do. And then you've
his
got
striking. He has good striking,
not,
I think.
Not like John Jones, yeah, and course. Not with the length of John Jones. John's, mm-hmm. you know, what, got 4 or 6 inches on him? It's like he won't even touch John if he doesn't want him to, you know? I think John's going to look for a lot of elbows and a lot of spinning elbows, and he's really going to try to hurt him in a very malicious and sadistic way.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, he's literally said that. I'm going to do very violent things to you.
Really?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Jones said to Cormier?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do very, very violent things to you.
You know, and Cormier seems like a nice guy that's just like a super nice guy. He's like just kind of like homely almost. He's just a nice, nice dude.
He does. And you're like, why is he even getting a title fight? And then you realize, oh, he's done really well in the UFC.
Yeah. Undefeated.
I mean, you look at what he did with Dan Henderson. I mean, it's like, that's a dangerous dude. And who you think of, like, that's an Olympic caliber wrestler. And he's not like, and that's the thing, too, with the years of difference. It's like Fedor coming back. It's not interesting at all because it's done. You only have so many of those kinds of fights in you.
Right.
And if you're trying to come back and you're like, just leave it number one, you know, like St. Pierre, just leave it number one. Like, because you can't come back when other guys, there's 30 guys that are really good that are fucking hungry.
Right.
Like, you can't fuck with that, man. And I think that that's like what you saw with Cormier and Henderson. Henderson's a high level athlete, and Cormier's got youth and hunger on his side. And it's like that thing about confidence we were talking about earlier. You can't really fuck with that. Like, you've got somebody with that kind of confidence versus somebody that's like, I kind of know all the ins and outs of the world and how bad it can look when guys leave. And, you know, especially Dan's 44 or whatever, going, oh, I'm going to be looking to get out of here soon. And, and as soon as the thought enters your mind that I'm going to get out, you're done. You're already fucking done. And when you're looking at what you're going to do after fighting, that's already a wrap because you're not in the thing. And and what I'll say to why I say that more with more veracity now, even than just in my own experience with it, is that like the SEAL guys, they've been doing testing. And when guys go to ring out, you know, you can voluntarily ring out of Bud's training. And so then you wash out. And when guys go to do that, a lot of times the instructors, like for years, they would try to encourage that. They want to fucking bust people out. They don't want people to make it if you're going to be a pussy. And so they want it to be the hardest thing possible. So they get like 88 guys or something every year or something like that. There's a small number that become Navy SEALs and get a trident. The guys that they said when we changed it, because they go, we need more special forces guys. We need more SEAL teams. And we want to increase the number coming out of there. And they're like, well, we don't want to take the standard down and make it so just like any scrub can become a Navy SEAL. There's got to be a standard. But what we'll do is we'll change the interaction with the Buds instructors. And so when guys would go and say, I want to ring out, I'm done, I can't fucking do this, they'd be like, dude, we're on your side. And we want you to fucking get through this, dude. Don't ring out. Just think about it. I'm going to give you a second chance, man. And even if those guys go right back in the water again and all that kind of stuff, and they're right back on it, they all 100% ring out anyway at some point before the end of it. They've already decided. Once you fucking decided, that is a wrap internally in your fucking body. And so, like, the thing about being in full commitment with your life, whatever that is, it seems like it's important. And I see that with those guys. I mean, if you're 24 and you're going for it, man, you give zero fucks about whatever. There's no tomorrow. There's just this right now. And you're putting all that into training. You're 32, 38, and you're looking at like, fuck, man, I only got 2 fights last year. I was hard to make my mortgage. I wonder what else I'm going to do. I can only do this so much longer. You're already done. It's over. You know?
Yeah.
And let alone a guy that's 36 is like, I'm going to do this for a lark and see what it is because I was a ballet dancer over here. It'll probably translate some, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird when you're like, when you know, you ring out of the WWF or WWE. And then you're like, I'm going to go do this for a living instead.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you had it backwards. You should have been in the UFC at 23.
Sure.
And then at 36, go do fucking fake wrestling for a living.
It's true.
This is going to just get your fucking face fucked.
It would be like going, like guys that I see in stunt work and shit, and they're like, oh, no, I want to get my fighting together and all that. And it's like, unless you're like super acrobatic, like really gymnastic, and you're a good tricker or something like that where you can do – front gainers and backflips and shit, and you can incorporate kicks in that, which looks awesome in movies. You really got it fucked up. It's not like you're going to go, I'm going to go build a fight career, and then I'm going to come back and incorporate that. It's like you need to be in it, man, like if you want to do it. And so like going from fighting into stunt work was kind of a good segue, but it's the same thing in that like there's a zero point your body can take where you're like, eventually there's going to be diminishing returns, and I'm only going to be able to fall down or get ratcheted through a wall or whatever it is so many times. And so guys become stunt coordinators, and they learn about safeties and all that. Or, you know, like for me, it's like I just go fully into acting then, and like that'll be the next thing then. And because you've got to look at it that way and go, okay, well, if I'm going to strategize my life, what do I need it to look like, you know?
Yeah, because especially with that shit, there's only so long you can do.
Yeah,
like these high-end stunts.
You can be a comic forever, right? Until you lose your mind, really. But you can do it from a wheelchair. But, like, these kinds of careers aren't that way, really, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, athletics goes away. Yeah. All of them. It goes away.
And it's an interesting thing, too, about, like, when you look at the top-level guys, the John Jones or Anderson Silvers or whatever, when you look at the evolutions of what the sport has been, like, Hoist Gracie, he doesn't matter at all. Like, he's like a purple belt walking around pretending. Like, I mean, it's like it's not like it's a guy that's relevant. We saw that when he fought Matt Hughes 10 years ago or whatever.
Right.
But,
you were with me, you lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah, right.
But the fact is like if we look at that and we look at the evolution of sport, then you've got to believe, just because historically it's true, that John Jones in 5 years or 8 years or Anderson Silva – won't be relevant. Those guys will be so far behind with what good is. You know what I mean? It's like it's a trip, and that's the way it happens. And your ego better be okay with it, you know. And you better know when it's time to walk and when it's time to stick around and dig in.
You ever look at those old skateboarders, the original great skateboarders, the Dogtown and Z Boys, and you look at their tricks, and you're like, "What are you even doing? You're just barely skating along a curb."
So like, a friend of mine, he was an Olympic Taekwondo dude, and he was the first guy to do like a 720. Like flips, and he said, you know, we were in China and we were learning these things, and we're the only guys doing them. When we came back to America, we're for sure the only guys doing them. He's like, now 20 years later, these guys just do them for warm-ups. That's their warm-up in the gym, you know. Like what became the high level trick became just like, that's just a regular warm-up that we do now. Like, of course everybody can do that,
right?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you see these, like, especially like that skateboarding shit, you see like 8-year-olds at these like skate parks, just like that are doing shit that like, you know, was impossible.
Masters
20 years ago. Yeah. Like shit that Tony Hawk back in the day would like, oh, he invented this fucking, you know, and now it's just like 8-year-olds are doing it. Like it's just piece of cake.
When you think of the air, I mean, it's crazy when you look at like the air and the flips and the consequences are so fucking steep if you fuck up.
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
Oh yeah.
God.
What's the most injured you've ever gotten doing stunt work?
Like knocked out. Like that's it.
You got knocked out?
You got knocked out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened?
Like flashed. I was on a wire and there was a fuck up a little bit. And I was on a wire on top of a moving vehicle. And the brakes locked up, and I went out to the end of the wire. But then I the vehicle was going, I don't know, 30, 40 miles an hour. And it kept going. It just stabbed the brakes. I went off the front end, and then it kept going. But then you get to the end of your line, and it kind of causes a catapult back. And so then I came back head first into the hood of the car. And
is that that Schwarzenegger movie?
Yeah.
What was that called again?
The Last Stand.
Last Stand. Yeah. That's where he shot you in the face.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy. Killed by Schwarzenegger. Killed by fucking Denzel. Killed by Walter White.
Why do you think he has a chance against us?
Yeah, that's why he has no chance.
None. He knows nothing. His only skill level is getting killed.
Yeah, Johnny Depp killed you in Lone Ranger, right?
Somebody did.
There was like 3 murders in Lone Ranger, and you're one of them. You know nothing, man.
What do you mean there was 3 murders? They murdered everybody, Ari.
Oh, really?
Fucking,
you don't even know what's good.
Keanu Reeves killed you.
I lived in Transcendence. And I lived in Jesse, a little Disney show.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I'm talking about the cool ways you died. It's like we said, like last time you were on the show, it's like we were saying, like, when you're on your deathbed, you've died in so many cool ways. like you're going to be in the hospital and like right before the last beep on your fucking, before you flatline, you're going to grab the nurse and you're just going to go, throw me out the fucking window.
I want to kill Ari in a movie.
Dude, let's kill him in real life. How would you kill Ari?
Something with his nose. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, pull me out of a window.
It's got to be something with this, that disgusting
I think something
asshole.
That makes him look tough, though. He's got to look tough. He's got to look dangerous in it.
Now, it's got to, you got to, like, fuck him with something first, though.
Whoa. What kind of film is this?
You know what I mean. It's just a couple
you
of
know
buddies,
what I mean?
A couple of buddies making a movie. But seriously.
Push off a building, land on one of those spikes, but the spike goes right up my dick hole.
Nah.
And I come instantly off it because it feels so good, and then die from the fall.
How could you come if that was inside there, though?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Now you're getting it.
No, maybe what happens is you fall, you're anally impaled, and then you come just like real life.
I can see that.
That's not real life, though. That's not a real life.
We've seen your asshole, okay, and your herpes scare anally. So I think that you've established all the proof that we need.
And you have the asshole of like the kind of asshole that says something's been up there.
Fuck yes you do. You can't even argue that.
That's
that
not
thing's
like
been
a normal
beaten
asshole.
Up.
That thing asshole, yeah, it's just
it's
fucking
misspeaking, but it does say that.
It really does. It looks like you've been in prison just with all black guys.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and that you're a lot better looking. You don't have to show. You don't have to show us what you can take.
No need to see. Were
you going
to
show us? Well, I actually can go this big.
Yeah. I don't need to see that. I don't need to see you like shoving.
I feel like that's the only way you can up the ante.
Rolls.
Go. You know what? In my secret life, here's what I take for practice and preparation before the guys come over.
Rolls of quarters.
Rolls cords in my butt. Yeah.
Yep, that's what
loosen
I think
that
it is.
Loosen that butt, bro.
Are you in the toilet now?
I'm in the men's toilet in my apartment.
Wow, the men's? Do you have a men's and women's toilet in there?
Yeah, there's a women's toilet. It's just the bedroom. And then once they're in there, they ain't getting out.
Ugh. Ari, how hilarious is it that Sam Tripoli won the Comedy Store League after making that bet with Josh?
Wow. Not only did he knock him in last place, he won the league.
Or second to last, or in the middle of the pack.
No excuses anymore, like, oh, you just got lucky because that guy was a little bit
made
better.
Made the playoffs, won the league, and I think he won and, like, scored the most points in the league. I think he won total points. So
well,
he scored more than anybody else.
As a champion myself, I'll tell, I'm proud of Sam. You know, we're all happy with each other. Champions sort of, like, have this, like, camaraderie that to each other.
Oh, do you?
That you wouldn't really understand.
Okay.
It's kind of just sort of like a brotherhood.
Oh, is that
hey,
what it
you're
is?
Friends with all the other stunt guys, right? Or a lot of them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Fantasy champions are just like,
is
you know,
that what
it
is?
Deeper, it goes deeper than just the surface. It goes into the blood at some point.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're connected by your marrow.
I can't explain it to you. I
yeah,
can't
you're doing
it
a terrible job.
Oh! Speaking of marrow, you got to go to this place. It's down in the lower, do you ever go Lower East Side?
It's where I live.
Okay. It's on, like, I think 1st and 12th. I want to say, and they sell bone marrow on the street.
For what purpose?
It's health and goodness.
Wait, where first and 12th? A truck?
No, it's a, there's a window on the side of the road. There's a restaurant right around the corner from it.
The Filipino place?
No, it's, I don't know. There's a really nice restaurant. I'll Google the name. I'll find it right
dude,
now.
Dude, I'll go there right now. I'll go there as soon as we're
it's
done with
so
it.
It's so fucking good, dude, it's and it's so good for you.
You want to eat bone marrow, Ari?
But I love bone marrow. It's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bone marrow dumplings.
No. But it's
I've never had it.
It's bone broth. And so they cook it and steep the bones, and they make like a – it's like a tea almost, but super enriched, and you can get turmeric in it or garlic or whatever, but it's fucking badass. Uh-huh. You should drink it every day.
Is it like – from what animal?
Cows and chickens and what animal did you want it to be from?
The most delicious animal of all. Humans.
Babies, yes.
Manatees.
Okay. Manatees or humans.
It's dolphin marrow. It's dolphin marrow.
I love dolphin marrow.
Did Brian really fuck a dolphin? Is that true?
No, I don't think so. I think he swam with one.
Of course not.
What do you mean of course not?
When did he tell you he did?
Not.
Because that's above him?
Oh, it's not above him.
I mean, what do you mean, of course not? Like,
you wouldn't know how to do that.
What do you mean? I always wanted to put my dick in a dolphin's blowhole.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be awesome. But here's my fear. Here's my fear is that it's like a cigar cutter.
Oh,
so the minute
God.
You put your dick in, something just snaps it off, and then you're like dickless.
Like in where he saves the universe.
And like in what?
Who's the guy that saves the universe?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And then he was in also Ted, though. He came for a cameo.
In what? Saves
He'll
universe.
Save every one of us. Flash
oh,
Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Right? Didn't he stick his hand inside the thing, inside the rock? And there
oh,
was
yeah.
A, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That type uh-huh. of shit.
Yeah, that's what I fear about a dolphin's blowhole. Other than that, I
it's
bet
a long
it feels
build up.
Good
Sorry,
to fuck.
Guys.
I feel like it would feel good to fuck a dolphin in that top of the head. Right? Yes or no? Would you do it if you didn't know that it would be like a cigar cutter and just...
I feel like I would find a pussy.
I'd do it.
You would do it, right?
Yeah, of course.
I would lick it.
So you're looking up the bone marrow place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for you? I've never...
It's
you
so
guys act like I'm
you.
An idiot
it's
for not
best.
Just
yeah, I
having
can't
bone marrow
know.
All the time.
I can't
yeah,
believe
you're
it.
An idiot.
That's not why, though.
No, that's just part.
That's a symptom of your idiocy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just one more fucking straw in the in that hat. Is it
yeah.
good or is it just
it's
good for
best.
You?
It's the best, and it's good for you. It's the best thing to eat, and it's good for you.
You eat it, or you drink it, or both.
You drink it.
Eat.
You drink. You
drink bone marrow.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, you drink.
No, you
it.
Eat it. It's prepared.
No, listen, dickhead. We're talking about different things. Bone marrow. You're talking about like eating it out of the. What I'm talking about is bone broth.
Oh, bone broth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the place that he's talking about that has it.
We were talking about the marrow that you're connected with Sam Tripoli now. So
what's
you guys
it called,
if you get leukemia, you can.
That's what he's looking up. The restaurant, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm about to find out, you son of a cracker ass cracker.
So how are we going to do this bet? You said Josh Martin had some questions.
Oh, yeah,
I told you last
question.
Night.
I told him I would donate my underwear. I'd work out in the same underwear all week, and you guys could jerk off into my underwear, and then he could rub that on his face.
His concern is more people are going to be beating off than just me and you and Sam.
That's so weird.
That's his number one concern. Oh,
I'd hate to have more cum than just, I only want your guys' cum.
Yeah, that's
what
he was saying.
Is there four people's cum and 100 people's cum? Is there a difference?
I mean,
I'm like, don't worry about
dude's
it.
Dude's cum all over your face.
Here is his question. I said I'd take it up with the council. I can't do the impression, but he goes, do I have to supply the rag, or are you guys going to supply
right.
that?
Yeah,
he mentioned that last night, which is where Tate was so kind to offer up his underwear. I'm like, the only thing worse than the three of us having to beat off on a towel is now I'm beating off on Tate's fucking gigantic fucking underwear.
He's so good.
Yeah, I would say my answer would be like we would supply it, but if he had a preference of a rag he wanted to use, then yeah, that's fine.
Maybe it's like some sort of souvenir keeper he could.
Or it's silky.
Yeah,
I think
if
it's
it was like his
that...
baba from when he was little.
But now, for some weird reason, I really would enjoy beating off on that.
Yeah.
On his old little fucking blade.
Okay, there's a place called Hearth. Hearth. And Brodo is the little place that's the offshoot that's just a window. It's just a window. Can you see?
No. No, I can't see that.
Okay. I don't know where to point it, but it's here, okay?
Brodo.
I'm pointing it right at your face. I don't know.
B-R-O-D-O.
B-R-O-D-O. And it's fucking delicious. It's going to change your life. It's going to be better
really?
Than it's going to be better than gummy bears for you.
Shut up.
I find
no way.
It totally will be. Nourishing bone broth, an old-fashioned remedy for the modern world.
Oh, yeah. I know what this is. Soup. Okay.
It's not soup, you asshole.
That's Brodo. Soup. That's what it says.
You know what? It's not soup. They have soup also. But bone broth, the drink, is not... It wouldn't be characterized as a soup.
Well, Yelp disagrees because it characterizes as soup, a soup place.
Uh-huh. You know what Yelp is for? Is for common basic little bitches like yourself that
basic
can't
bitches.
Differentiate.
Ari, don't piss him
okay?
off. I'm the one sitting next to him. He's going to start lighting me up like a Christmas
you
tree.
You can get, yeah, it's on 12th Street, the entrance for Hearth, but just the tiny window on 1st Avenue right around the corner. That's where you want to go.
Brodo, okay. Between yep. 13th and 12th. Yeah, I walk by there all the time.
And it's cheap. $4 starts at $6.75 for the large.
And so you're saying I want the bone marrow broth.
Yep.
I'm getting it today.
Yep.
I'm getting it today.
And you're going to want to take it home. You'll want to freeze it. You want to have it as much as possible, especially you look like you're dying right now. So you should get two today at least.
What is it good? It's just like all around good for you. Like an antioxidant kind of like.
Exactly. Everything.
All that shit.
Yep. Yep.
I can get behind that.
Antioxidant, prooxidant, all the oxidants.
Yeah. So Josh is saying to me, Ari said that you guys may or may not have your a towel that you could use.
And is he really disturbed? Is he mentally like there's a dysfunction there, right?
He'll only wear cupcake shirts. He saw a cupcake shirt and goes, not only am I going to wear this, I'm going to commit my life to only wearing this.
I wouldn't describe him as normal.
No, there's something amiss.
Or sane. But he's not like a crazy. I mean, he's not like Boone Shakalaka crazy.
He's not crazy.
Who, Boone?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He's not crazy at all. He's not crazy at all. Do you have a bathtub? I got to wash my hair. Like, okay, buddy.
Can you imagine letting him wash his hair while you brush your teeth?
You know what he said to me the other day? He's like, I want to do some poses and have you take pictures of me.
Wow.
Like, I bet you do. Semi-nude.
Imagine Boone as a 20-year-old. As a 20-year-old hottie.
I bet he was funky.
Hard dick all the time, just looking for dudes to stab.
He's got kids.
No.
Who has kids?
Boone Shakalaka.
Oh, no. What?
Yes, he does.
What? Wait.
Boone Shakalaka has, he'll always say, human either children. 9 or 13. There are two that we know of for sure.
No.
Yep. And his
children?
His daughter. His daughter. Just got out of jail in Nebraska for murder. And why did she murder somebody? Over a card game.
Why did she get out?
All of his parents were big gamblers. Like hustlers, as he describes it. But they were all like gamblers and like card sharks.
How come she got out?
She was in jail for like 12 years or something. And just got out of prison in Nebraska for murder over a card game.
No way.
I like that.
Who does he have kids with?
I think he only has two, but they're all with the same lady, who he was never married to. He just describes her as like his baby's mama or whatever the fuck.
Wow.
So he's either been gay his whole life, but then wound up having kids with this chick, or like something happened to him, and then he just became this crazy person.
That could happen to you, Ari.
Say, hearth broth or organic chicken broth or ginger grass-fed beef broth?
I had all three. The hearth broth is delicious. I wasn't as happy about the chicken broth, but they have a chicken soup type of broth there also with chunks of chicken meat, which was delicious. So I mean, I would buy several things.
Where's the marrow? Which one is that?
I'll get it probably inside the hearth, inside the actual restaurant.
Okay. Oh, okay.
This is a thing. They're like, they just had all these bones and shit, and they wanted to make something awesome. They wanted to use the whole animal in this.
I love it. I love that.
Man, I can't. I feel like I can't believe I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, you take the bones and you bake them all, and then you put a bunch of vegetables and spices in them, and then you put them in a soup pot and you let them steep for like 18 hours or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's delicious. It's delicious.
I can get behind that. I can totally get behind that.
How long are you going to be in New York City? When am I going to get to cuddle with you, Ari?
You're back out.
Three more days. I'm leaving on Friday. I'm leaving 2.5 days. I'm leaving.
I'm going to leave today. I came. I stayed specially just to sit here with you guys today. And I'm going to leave this evening. And then I'll be back, I think, on like the 15th or 16th.
Where are you going?
Sure. I'll be there.
I'm going to go to Dallas. And then I'm going to go from Dallas to Austin, then back to Dallas, and then I work in Albuquerque for a couple of weeks.
What do you work? What does that mean?
The Maze Runner Part 2, they're doing, it's called the Scorch Trials. And
you're doing a Maze Runner 2?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And then we're going to that club in Concrete Cowboy in Dallas, which is where you should spend New Year's Eve if you're in Texas.
That's so not my scene.
You don't have any idea, you son of a bitch.
Yes, I do. It's fucking. It's for people to barf on the sidewalk. Do you have
No, not at all. You need to come.
It's not my scene. Loud music.
How do you know it's not?
You've described it to me before.
Listen, you cracker-ass cracker. You just come with me. It'll be fun.
Look, my pot has ruined my memory, but not for shit I would hate.
What movies do you have coming out? You got... I know you're at Jurassic Park.
We just did that, and then I did a Parks and Rec episode, which was pretty cool, when I got back from Columbia. In Columbia, we did a superhero kind of thing where I was like a marauder with...
You look like a genie.
An axe in each hand, and
you look like a genie in those pictures.
Yeah, it was fun, man. And so that, and then... I don't know. A couple other things will hopefully come up at the first of the year. I get to do a little independent film with Hal Linden, who was Barney Miller.
No. Oh.
Yeah, Barney Miller. He played him, and so that'll be interesting. I don't know.
That's cool.
I got a thing coming out with Mel Gibson.
Fucking anti-Semitism?
You know, I feel like he got a bad rap, and the man's a genius, okay?
No, yeah. Bad rap. He got the right rap.
He didn't. Listen. You're a racist, and you're anti-humanitarian.
No, I'm racist against lower-level races.
Those are things that are true. No, you don't like Thai people, and you don't like homeless people.
You don't like Mexicans, and you don't like blacks.
And Guatemalans aren't high on your list. Yeah. And you're not really into Pacific Islanders.
You hate Armenians.
And you don't think that Gentiles are worthy either. And so pretty much you pigeonhole yourself only into liking other Jews.
But yeah, he did the opposite of that.
Okay, no, he mentioned that one time where you espouse these kinds of ideals all the time whenever you get a chance. He was hammered drunk. And he said some shit to a guy that got recorded.
Yep.
It's a snapshot of his life. It's not the breadth of who he is.
Yeah.
And then he got caught up saying some shit.
And he didn't with really some say crazy anything girl. That wasn't true. For the most part, everything he said was pretty spot on. Jews run Hollywood. He owns Malibu. Blah, 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 blah. Other stuff. I don't remember the rest. But
other stuff. I got a black girlfriend. Other stuff.
Yeah.
He's got a black girlfriend?
That was one of the girls that he was... didn't he get a bad phone call with somebody or... Somebody recorded his messages, or was that somebody else?
No, the messages were great. No, she was fucking a black... His girlfriend was fucking a black guy. And he was like, stop fucking black people, and you need to blow me in the hot tub more.
Yeah. Which, again...
That's just time management. He wasn't speaking about race there.
If I was him, I would say the same... If my girl... Hey, look. Whoever she's fucking. If I had a girlfriend, and I'm rich like Mel Gibson, and I'm not getting my dick sucked enough in the hot tub... And let's say she's not fucking a black guy. Let's say she's fucking a Puerto Rican guy or whatever. I'd be like, stop fucking Puerto Ricans and start sucking my dick a little bit more if you want to be a part of this party.
It's not a part of the – it's not about Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
It's about his dick.
Or the black guy. He's like, stop doing the X
thing. Stop doing that thing.
Start doing Y.
Yeah, if you want to shop at Kroger, you do that on your time. But enough with fucking Kroger's already. Come over and get this dick.
This hot tub's not sucking my dick.
I can't believe you're not more understanding.
Yeah, it's kind of starting to piss me off a little bit, actually, to tell you the truth, Ari.
That's a real Israeli trait right there.
What is?
Not being very understanding.
Picking and choosing?
No, just being really entitled and not understanding.
I could see that. So, all right, when you get in Saturday? Friday?
I get to Vegas on Friday.
Oh, yeah, you're going to the fights, aren't you? You son of a bitch. You and who? You and Diaz and Tony?
Me and Diaz and Rogan and Duncan.
Ooh, man.
It's a good team right there.
That's a good fucking crew to watch that fight with, too. That's the fucking fight. That's the fight.
And Rogan already told Diaz we got the behind the Rogan seats.
You told me that. I'm doing La Jolla this weekend. So I'm like stoked to be doing La Jolla, but I'm also like, God, the one time I get a fucking La Jolla spot is the fucking fight that I've wanted to see for 3 years.
Yeah, me too.
And there's nowhere around there where you can just like do your spot and then in between like the 8 and 10 o'clock show, run over there and watch it. There's no like sports bar that's going to have that. It's La Jolla. There's a Ferrari dealership.
Yeah, the only chance is that brew house, but they don't really air that anymore. No, but it's on Fox.
No way.
It's not on Fox.
That's got to be a pay-per-view.
It's a pay-per-view. 100%.
There's not a fight like that. This,
no,
I mean, you're
so
a Jew
right.
and you don't know about numbers.
Yeah, come on, man.
Fuck
yeah, yeah.
Ari,
crunch those numbers.
You gotta stop
bro.
With
you
the weed.
It.
Something.
Are you sitting there taking a shit while you talk to us? What are you doing right now?
Have you had any action?
You've been sitting at what appears to be a toilet for quite a long time.
Yes.
Which part?
I'm taking a shit.
What's happening there? Why doesn't it come out? Why aren't you done by now?
Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to take your word for it. Don't start jostling the camera around like we have to look at you shitting.
Will you show shit?
No, 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 no.
Can we
no,
see
no.
shit coming out of your anus?
Yeah, let's try that.
No, 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 no. Please don't do this.
Hold on. No, wait,
no, no. There's no hold on.
I can't
wait. We're totally fine.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
Oh,
yes,
no,
yes.
No, no, no,
no.
No,
no. We need to. Yeah, even... there we go. That's better.
This.
Come on.
No, no, no. You're
don't
good.
Don't tease. Let it come.
Oh, God. I can't believe you're encouraging this behavior. Oh, no.
You got nothing.
Oh, no. Someone on the floor.
Oh, God damn it.
Someone on the floor.
Just sit down and finish shitting,
boy.
Idiot.
I can't believe what a nice apartment you have. It's way better than the last place.
It is better, but slightly and not worth the extra money.
Dude, this place rent is
how
easy
much is
rent.
It
is dope.
$2,800.
Wow, that's
for a guy
lot
like you, that's
money.
Not much money.
That's a lot of money.
Not that for
a
fellow like
of
you.
Money.
International touring comic.
International.
Oh, dude, guess who fucking, you know, I told you I went to Renazizi's place that he rented, which
yeah.
is super dope.
Where is it?
In the hills, like, up like Laurel Canyon, like all the way up. He rented a place for like a week, but it's fucking beautiful. So we're there, and guess who saw you on stage and goes, oh, my God, that's the amazing racist. I'm such a big fan of his.
Pauly Shore.
Tom Cruise.
Nope, but it's big.
What, a neighbor or something?
No, saw you on stage. No, we were just he was telling us the story, and I never heard the story. At the Comedy Store, you're on stage, sees you, says, oh, my God, that's the amazing racist. I'm a huge fan of his.
Chris Who's? Pratt.
Quentin Tarantino.
No, wow. Who said that? Renazizi
and Taylor both.
Exaggerisi strikes again.
Nope, they said that. It was Taylor's story.
Why can't you just take the compliment?
Because I was there when it happened. It was at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and it was when Don was fucking with me while he was doing warm up, and then he asked.
Oh,
he goes,
really? No,
they
said
he
was in the
OR.
Fan.
He just said, "Is that the amazing racist? Is that guy you were fucking with the amazing racist?"
I'll tell you what, if anybody knows who the Amazing Racist is, they're only a big fan. Because
nobody
else. That's
true.
Nobody
That's
else
true.
Gives a
I
fuck.
Wish I would have could get through to Quentin Tarantino and be like, hey man, I love your work. I would love to do anything, especially if you do another movie about Jews.
Yeah.
Fighting Jews. Come on, man.
I mean,
you are the combat Jew. I mean, if anybody thinks about that.
DJ Novak gets in that? No, me. That's me.
Is Novak Jewish?
Yeah.
DJ Novak is Jewish?
Yeah, so Jewish.
God, they're everywhere. I know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
It's like cockroaches.
He thinks that Renazizi thinks BJ hates him. I don't know why. But he's like, yeah, he just doesn't like me.
Oh, he's quiet, BJ.
Yeah, yeah. And Renazizi is not.
No, he's
God,
not.
Oh, we were going to get him to puke today.
Oh,
he's going to be
shit.
So good.
Would this have done it? Could he have puked if he saw...
Oh, yeah. He will start puking if he sees a dog pooping. Like, seeing a dog
a
take a shit makes Renazizi have to throw up.
Yeah.
He really will start.
That's
so,
a different kind of constitution.
Dude, anything gets him to puke.
And how does he have kids? Like, because kids are, little kids are gross.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
Disgusting. Little kids are disgusting.
Little kids are disgusting.
Nate's They're like gross. That. Nate Harris, one of my guys, if he sees somebody throws up, he starts throwing up.
Oh, if
it's
I
like
see somebody throwing
reaction.
Up, I can throw up watching somebody throw
it's
up.
Crazy.
That'll get me. But I'm not like Renazizi. So for years, every time I hear like a really disgusting story, like I'm like, oh, I got to tell it to Renazizi. So I'll start telling a story to him, and then he'll just start running away from me.
Jesus.
So I have to tell him these stories in the increments. You know what I mean? So he'll be talking to someone, then I'll walk up and then continue the story, and then he'll take off running. So him just hearing about this bet was really – because this is the most disgusting one we've ever done.
I feel like the kid got out of it by snitching. Like, he's a pussy, that Josh kid. Like, he told him knowing that he wouldn't show up and then he wouldn't be committed to the cum rag.
But he's still going to have to do it. So Josh seems to think it should be a smaller rag because then there's more cum. Like, the cum to rag ratio needs to be high.
He wants more
cum. Like, if the three of us jerk off on a towel, there's a lot of spaces on that towel that don't have cum on it. If we jerk off on, like, a dish rag, that thing's pretty much just covered in cum.
I feel like you guys all jerk off in the same jar, and then you pour it concentrated on a small handkerchief.
See, that's how I'm almost gagging thinking about that. That almost
and then what
right
you
there.
Do, what you do is you get the handkerchief, and you lay it down on a piece of saran wrap, maybe.
Why the saran wrap?
Because you don't want it to soak through. You don't want it to soak through and get on your table, you sick animal.
Oh.
And then you start to make like a cup with the handkerchief, and then you pour the cum from the jar in it.
Uh huh.
And then you can wipe out the inside of the jar a little bit too. Whoever wants to do that. And then what you do is you get a little string and you tie it around, so you have a little packet of cum. Like a little bandana that you would throw over
almost
your shoulder.
Almost like a tea bag.
Exactly. And then you soak it in the tea for him. And then he has to drink it.
Ugh, that's so terrible.
That's tough.
Well,
I feel like this Josh kid, for being a snitch, you got to up the ante.
There's another good point, too. Because
you get to drink cum tea.
The terms of the bet are, you know, the three of us jerk off on this whatever towel. But then 24 hours later... Is when he has to, like, you know, use soap or whatever and wash his face with this rag. But before he does it, he has to run it under hot water.
And activate the semen.
Yes. But what a point that's been brought up is running it under the water can knock some of the cum off. So what he should have to do is take a spray bottle of warm water and
steam
just spray it on the cum itself to reactivate it, not getting the whole towel. Cum, right?
No, he's got to have water reactivating the whole thing.
Yeah, but I think he should use a spray bottle and just spray
not a
the
faucet.
Cum.
Because if
he
wash it out,
yes,
he just get it wet. Yeah,
yeah, because he runs
like
through the sink.
They give you at a flight or something.
And he's very adamant that he's got. I'm gonna wash my forehead, my cheeks, and my chin, but I'm not getting it on my nose or eyes or mouth.
I think we should. Oh, definitely eyes and nose. Like, you have to wash it. It's like this. Okay, here's a towel.
Yeah,
here's
like
what it looks like when you wash your face.
Your eyes are dirty. You need to get that cum up in your mix.
You see that side view?
Yeah,
side view.
That's what you do.
He should have to do just that.
Eyes, nose, mouth, but not in your mouth, but the rest. Absolutely.
But your lips. It rubs your lips.
I go, look, man. This isn't going to be the kind of fucking thing that's like. We're not going to fucking run you through the ringer. You're just going to wash your face with this rag for 10 minutes.
Nobody said anything about 10 minutes.
That's a lot.
That's what he said. No, of course. It's too long.
His face would be raw. He'd get all your AIDS because it would go through the sores in his face that would create.
Since we're going to shoot it and make a video out of it like we do with all the bag of bets, I feel like we should do this at the front bar of the Comedy Store, and it should be Sam's trophy ceremony. Where he gets his trophy for winning this league.
Are you finger banging yourself right now?
I'm wiping.
You're white. I'm watching a grown man. I'm watching a 40-year-old wipe his ass.
Now you are.
Oh, God. This is just... And you know what? Highlight of my week is this show. Highlight of my week is this show. And this is what it is.
This
is what it's
this.
Become. No. Stop it. Why?
Because there's nothing left to wipe.
Oh, God, that's awful.
I'm kidding. Why am I doing it at all? Not why are we almost done?
I saw Duncan the other day. I was talking to him, and we were laughing about...
You poor asshole.
We were talking about you, because for a while, Duncan lived in Rogan's basement.
Yeah, he did.
And for a while, so did you.
Yeah.
And Rogan had said, man, when Duncan lived in my basement, it was, you know, he was nice, very, very courteous, would always clean up. You know, I was never worried about anything. When Tate lived in my basement, I was constantly terrified. He was like, I would just see, you know, it was totally messy all the time, and I would just see this big shadow move around. He was like, it was like having a bear in my basement when Tate lived there. And then when Duncan lived there, I was like having like this nice little dainty fairy like living in your
It'd
yard.
It'd be nice to live with Duncan.
Here, you guys, I want to show you what this looks like to flush.
No, God.
Because it's way over the rim. It's way over the water level.
That looks unhealthy.
That really does look. Is that what the bone marrow looks like? Ugh, what's wrong with you?
Will it go down? Will it go down?
I don't care. I don't want to know.
What kind of toilet is that? Oh, God.
Now it's back. It's back. It came back. It flushed. Everything was gone. And then everything that was in there came right back. That's what $3,000 a month gets you?
What's interesting is that this is a job, kind of, what you guys are doing right now. And
that's
part of the job is to be in your underwear.
We have sponsors who pay us to do this.
And shit.
Good sponsors, bro.
We raised,
adults, bro.
Yeah, we helped raise $10,000 for All Things Comedy. Why? Why? Because people are upset that they can't watch you take a shit live.
Yeah.
They're upset that they have to go look at this later.
You just added to that moment.
Yeah.
There was a naked guy at the Comedy Store last night.
Ooh.
Some Chinese guy.
Really?
Long black hair. Yeah. Don Barris' show.
Oh, up in the Ding Dong Show?
Yeah.
Oh.
But no, it was in the OR.
Gross.
And then there was some girl that was kind of hot, redheaded maybe.
The same one you were talking about earlier? Mm-mm. With the pants?
Nope. She ran up and she walked right over the table and attacked Don.
Redheaded. I wonder who that would be.
I don't know.
Regular chick?
I'd never seen her before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know.
They come and go there. They come and
go there.
Yeah, there's
a long black-haired Asian guy, and he just got completely naked and walked on stage while Don was doing his thing. Unsolicited.
Wow.
It's the best way to do that. It's the best way to do that.
How many times have you been naked on stage at the Comedy Store?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah, my numbers, I couldn't even guess.
A lot.
So many.
If you include just like balls out or dick out.
No, naked.
Yeah, I'll play that. I'm not going to be full naked. Full naked, not nearly as many.
Yeah, full naked, very...
handful, maybe. Maybe not even five full naked. Handful.
Belly room, I was naked on stage in the belly room once. Twice. Duncan and I did a show on acid once.
Really?
Yep. We did a belly room show, and we like announced, hey, Duncan and I... This is 10 years ago. Duncan and I are both going to do acid, and then 3 hours later, we're doing this show.
Awesome.
Perfect timing.
Right? And then, like, you know, so everybody that was there knew that we were both doing, like, 15-minute sets, but we were both, like, lit up on acid.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Totally no recollection of the show whatsoever.
No filming.
No, we should have filmed it.
Yeah.
That was just back in the day when you were just like, dude, let's just try everything. And I mean, comedy-wise, not drug-wise. Comedy-wise.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we've never done that. Let's try that. Let's do that weird show. Let's try having someone call in their spot from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Put the phone up to the, you know.
Yeah. Just like, let's just try anything. Let's just see what works, what doesn't work. Shave my head live on stage once. Like, I was crying and just shaved my head with a razor.
Really?
Just had clunks of hair left. Just had clunks.
Me, I shaved my head and did a whole bit about being a cancer survivor.
Yeah, that's what we did a sketch where we thought Duncan had cancer because he left the show with a bald cap on. So for solidarity, Jarvis and I shaved our heads. While a montage of Duncan's life played.
Wow, that's hilarious.
We were
I did a show, I mean, like, I shaved my head, and then I was like, let's just do some bits about actually having cancer, not tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
Let's just, like, if I was a cancer guy, here are the jokes I would do.
What were some of the jokes?
I don't know. Those guys all bitch, those cancer people. Fucking get over it, bro. Walk it off. You know? Who cares about those jokes anymore?
Right. It's over. You're going to be dead soon anyway. And it's not going to stop me from making these jokes. You got to face this guy.
You got the ugliest head for being bald, too. It's bad.
You really do look like a clown, though.
I'm getting a cut. I've been like, fuck, I got to clean this place. Benji's going to come here, and he's going to be so upset if it's not clean.
Oh, you're worried about Benji?
You got people you can call and just have them do that.
Are you and Benji swapping places?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. The
little kid, the midget?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Not necessarily a midget, but yeah. So is that something Jews do? Because
he's barely not a midget. You know when you're playing that racing game and the clock ticks down and then it goes, like it clicks down zero, it goes, and then you start coasting. And if you can make it over that finish line, then you get a new 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what Benji is with being a midget. Like, He's not a midget, but he just got over it.
He's right there, man.
That's hitting on his grandma.
Hot?
I was hitting on his grandma. She's not really hot. I mean, she's pretty old, but she's super rich. Her house, have you been to his grandparents' house?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was hitting on her. I'm like, dude, I think your grandma wants me.
She definitely wants you. She likes to fuck. And really? She likes to fuck not so hard, though.
How old is she?
I don't know, 70s, maybe 80.
How many times did you fuck her?
I think she's 66.
Really? No, she's older than that.
That's stupid.
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 That was dumb.
Yeah.
Totally dumb.
Your shit in the toilet was bad.
You were better when you were doing cancer jokes. All right, who is your Super Bowl predictions?
Well, I'm going with the Cowboys, man. I believe. Who knows what's going to happen? It's tough. I don't really think they're the lead in. I think in the NFC, I think Green Bay and Seattle. I'd say Green Bay is the best team in the NFC. But I'm hoping the Cowboys can do it.
I think you can.
And then in the AFC, Denver or Indianapolis. I mean, not Denver or what's it called?
New England.
And I'd like to see Denver go again, but New England's playing really good right now.
I think that's a championship game right there, Denver, New England.
And then you never know about Pittsburgh. A Pittsburgh team could go far.
Pittsburgh and Dallas are the two, like, monkey wrenches in each conference.
They play hard-nosed where you go, like, you just overpower a team.
I can see Dallas-Pittsburgh Super Bowl.
That'd be great. A rematch of one from, like, 15, 20 years ago.
More than that.
How long ago was that one? That was in high school. Maybe 25 years ago?
Yeah, that was, like, fucking way back then.
Not the 70s one. I mean, like, the 90s one.
Oh, yeah. It was 90s. It was 90s. Yeah. It was like Rod Woodson days.
Jesus.
For Pittsburgh.
It was right? 20 years ago.
Isn't that crazy? You know what I saw that was like 20 years ago? And I was like, holy shit. What's that Tarantino movie? Fucking...
Pulp Fiction.
94. That's 20 years ago. Pulp Fiction.
94.
That's
20
crazy.
Years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, that was so long ago, but it's still a fucking good movie. Although I guess I should watch it again.
It's great.
I watched that movie so many times.
Yeah,
so
because good. That guy's a big fan of yours. I heard that he
was blowing you up.
Yeah, he was like going crazy. I guess he saw you walking.
I heard
down the
him
street.
On Jimmy Kimmel podcast, and he was talking about you were his favorite. Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
For real? For real? I think Cowboys could do it. I almost.
They made the playoffs, though. I'm so excited that they just made the playoffs. The first time in forever, they made the playoffs. And that, to me, is like, fuck yeah, we did it.
Why does that excite you, and why do you say we did it? Because you didn't do shit.
That way of thinking of, like, we, you're on the team, that's hacky. It was hacky 25 years ago.
It's not hacky.
You say we because it's me and all the other Cowboys fans. That's what we is. We, the Cowboys organization, which is all the fans.
Have you always been a fan? And do you get dividends from that? Do you get paid from that?
No.
You don't.
No? Does Emmitt Smith get paid when the Cowboys win?
What's that?
Does Emmitt Smith get paid when the Cowboys win?
I don't know who that is, but...
Yeah, he doesn't.
One of the Cowboys' greatest players of all time. He still says we.
Well, he actually played. He wasn't just a...
Do you get paid when your high school team wins?
He was a participant in his life, whereas you're a spectator, which is different.
No.
I say we, too.
It's we. Stupid and hacky. It's been done. It's been tread upon so long.
It is stupid and hacky to say we. I agree.
No, you're not agreeing. When you're
a do nothing.
You're intentionally disagreeing.
I am disagreeing with you, yeah. But I think we're saying the same
you
thing.
Come on
that you think.
Podcast?
Who do you think wins in a fight? Ari and the Dallas Cowboys against you, Keith Jardine, Rogan, and me.
They don't have a chance.
The Cowboys, there's 55 of them.
Yeah.
Easy day.
And there's 300
easy, easy day.
Yeah, but it's me, Jardine, Rogan, and Tater Tot over here.
They wouldn't even get in the room. We would just pick who we want to knock out.
What's Jardine going to do?
They'd come in one by one.
Hands on.
You would perhaps be killed with the first shot.
Why would you think I'd be in the front lines of that?
Because they throw the Jew out first, sacrifice a lamb.
Yep.
Head kick right to the head, and then you fucking die.
Generals stay in the back.
Generals.
Need your general leader to be safe at all times.
Excuse me? You're not leading this charge, sir.
I'm cataloging it.
You're
like the Jewish guy in Saving Private Ryan.
Why has it got to be the Jewish guy? Why has it got to be the Jewish guy?
Yeah, why does it have to be the Jewish guy?
I'll live to tell the tale.
Well,
I don't know.
It's another thing you don't want to be involved in then, and you want to act like you're involved with it.
Jeff, Dave Attell had this joke. He was making fun of Jeff Ross. They were on stage together, and he goes, Jeff, what's your favorite alcohol? What do you like to drink? He goes, oh, it's scotch. And then Dave Attell goes, butterscotch. And then he goes, it's so fat. But then he goes, what do you think? What do you do for shaving? Do you shave everything, or do you leave one hair for one to tell the tale?
I guess you had to be there, huh?
No. You did. Tebow got it fine.
You're going to die. I'm Tony.
You're going to die.
You're a dead man.
Oh. Tony and fucking Tripoli roasting each other. It's going to be good.
It's going to be a blowout win by Tony.
When does that happen?
You think so? Like the 20th or something? 18th?
Oh, maybe I'll judge that one. Maybe I can judge that one.
Oh, yeah. If you judge it, fix it. So
the 18th
wins.
Of January?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I need to be there.
Something like that. 16th, 18th, something
like that. You feel like it's like fighters, like Tony's the young, hungry athlete?
No.
You think Tripoli can bring it like that?
No, here's what I think it is. I think you have Tripoli, who was, let's compare him to a Forrest Griffin. Nope, not Forrest Griffin.
Carl Parisian. Carl Parisian.
Who was that first big fight he had?
Carl Parisian.
No, the Ultimate Fighter fight.
It's a Carl Parisian?
No.
Manny Gimbrian.
No, the big Ultimate Fighter fight. The first Ultimate Fighter.
Stephen Bonner.
Oh,
Tripoli is like a Stephen Bonner. He's a washed-up Stephen Bonner. A guy who never got over the top himself, and now he's way past his prime. And he's fighting a guy like just some guy who fights. Overrated in his own right, but still a competitor in the UFC currently. You know? He's like an 18th-ranked middleweight.
Yeah.
25th-ranked middleweight. And of course he's going to beat up Stephen Bonner.
I think Tripoli can win it.
No, he's got no chance because he's got no heart and he's got no skills.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
Let me judge. I'll judge it evenly, and I'll put them both in their place.
Yeah, you should judge it, and then we can fix it for Punch Drunk.
No fixing it.
Come on, dude. We're just sidebar.
This is about fair competition.
Look, okay, everybody listening, earmuffs. Ari, we should really fix this and make it so Tripoli wins for sure. What do you say?
I'm down.
Okay. All right, everybody, earmuffs off. Everybody, we're back. All right, what do you got coming up? What are you going to do? You're going to be out here and then Vegas and what?
Going to be out there Sunday and then Vegas with Rogan and Diaz and Duncan on Friday. And then I'll be doing San Francisco, the Punchline, headlining the Punchline for the first time on nice. January 7th through the 10th in San Francisco.
Wow. Who are you doing that with? Whoever they give you?
Louis Katz is featuring for me.
Oh, cool.
San Francisco's own. Great
nice,
Louis.
Nice. I will be at the La Jolla Comedy Store this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Me and Chris Porter.
So, oh, that'd be great. That's great. Chris Porter's a cool guy. He was in Hawaii with us for that festival.
I love that guy. He's so cool.
In Hawaii?
Maui Comedy Festival.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
By the way, okay, so I did this Maui Comedy Festival, and then we did shows at night. But all day long was like snorkeling, boogie boarding,
cool.
some stand-up surfing, whatever that is, with the paddle.
Paddle boarding.
It was great. It was amazing. But at night, people just, myself included, did not feel like going and doing a show. Kyle Kinane was the only one who got up for it. And that's when I realized all these preseason tournaments, like the Maui Classic and the fucking Puerto Rican thing, all that stuff, that's why there's all these upsets. Because those guys have been partying all day in the sun.
That's interesting.
And that's why they're not at their best. It's
that's a good point.
They don't want to go fucking have a battle right now.
Yeah, where like Kentucky gets beat by like Virginia Commonwealth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're like, how the hell did that happen? It's like, yeah, these guys have been fucking chasing hot chicks on the beach all day. And they're all like, you ever spend like a day at the beach and then like
you're drained?
You're drained. You didn't do anything. But like you when you lay on your sheets, you're like,
lay down in red.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just totally drained. And then you got to go like play a fucking like two basketball games in 2 days.
What's the move then? Do you go like the team that sucks, their coach goes, listen, this fucking matters. You stay in your fucking hotel rooms. Keep your fucking heads right.
Yeah.
We're going to win this. And then the other team is like, oh, we're on fucking vacation in a tropical paradise.
Yeah.
So you either got to fuck off the tropical paradise and be like, you know, it's a one-shot deal. I'll have to be in a tropical paradise, but we're going to win another game that doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah. You play your game first.
Really, it's about the basketball. They had the Syracuse Classic. you know, somewhere in the state of New York, the North Dakota Invitational. Yeah. They don't have that shit.
Right. Yeah. The Pittsburgh Invitational.
Yeah, smells like suicide.
It's only for people that are betting. And they're like, we know that the best team's not going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, if I was there in a Hawaiian and I was, like, gambling, I would find that team, whatever they're doing, and just be like, hey, man, shots are on me.
Oh, absolutely.
Round of shots for all 12 of you guys. What do you mean you're on only 19? Well, you're cool here. Here's another shot. I'm sorry, you're only 19.
Here's some ice. Smoke this. It'll be great.
Ice. Yeah, man. You want to slam heroin into your eye? Dude, that's what all the cool kids are doing.
What are you going to do the rest of the day, Ari?
I am going to get a haircut. I'm going to go get some broth.
Yes.
I'm going to give a friend some money to pick me up some mushrooms. And then I'm going to try to do a little cleaning out here.
Are you going to take those mushrooms across state lines?
No, I'm going to do them here.
Oh. You're just going to just do mushrooms on your own? Just like, fuck it, I'm just going to do mushrooms by myself?
No, you should have some. You should always have some.
I have some at my house in Santa Fe.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's more incentive for me to go to Santa Fe.
See?
But if it's a nice day and I happen to want to do mushrooms and you're busy, then that's an option.
I like to take care of my buddies.
Yeah, I like that. My friends asked me, like Rouse and all those guys, but like people are like, hey, where can we get Coke? I'm like, fuck, you know what? I don't really know, but let me ask some people for you. I know who to like start asking.
Yeah. Somebody last night came up to me and they're like, hey, some guy up front told me, I'm here from Canada or something like that, and some guy up front told me that you could tell me who has weed here at the Comedy Store.
Virtually anybody.
And I go, do a 360, look around, and 87 out of 90 people that you see have weed here. I go, dude, just stand here in the park. Like some strange guy. I'm not going to take him in the back.
Right.
Fucking like now I'm babysitting some guy and making sure he gets stoned. What I did do is I go, see these stairs that are coming down from the belly room and like Kill Tony just ended or whatever? I go, just stand in this general area and you will see people starting to smoke pot that would be cool
and
with smoking
then just
you
to, like wander around. Yeah, exactly. That's the place to do it.
I'm like,
and
just stand in this general area. You'll
be
fine.
If you can't get stoned there for free, you're fucking, there's something wrong with you.
That's my favorite movie review of all time. It was Don Juan DeMarco, the one that Johnny Depp was in.
Yeah.
Remember that? And they go, there was a San Francisco Chronicle or something like that, some paper from San Francisco. And it said, if you can't get laid after this one, you just can't get laid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can get like, not the pink dot, but close, like within, two buildings away. If you're at the Andes, you're like, well, man, what's that pot? Something smells like a really strong pot. And you're like, oh, yeah, the Comedy Store is fucking 100 yards away. Of course.
Yeah. Like it's like hilarious. At the daytime. It does. It smells that much.
It's a lot. It's like, oh, 100 skunks got killed here. Oh, no. I'm at the... all right. I'm just driving on
Sunset.
No, it's just
100 people smoking skunk weed.
Yeah. No, it's just Don Barris pulling up.
He just rolled out his window to yell,
hey, we got to see Paris Hilton's aunt last night. It was awesome.
Oh,
she's back.
She's back.
That
all right.
So good, dude. And whose daughter is she?
She is the. She's not.
Zsa Zsa's daughter.
Zsa Zsa Gabor's daughter. Yeah.
She's really doing well. Her truck was just packed full of shit.
Yep. She looks good.
You try to reason with her, it's impossible. I saw her like talking on her phone in the room. I was like, what's her name?
Francesca.
I was like, Francesca, get the fuck out. What are you doing? I got a phone call. I'm like, I want you to not take it. Don't act like a fucking child. Get the fuck out of the room. All the show's going on.
She's been leaving Adam all these messages for spots.
It's attention. She feeds on attention. Yeah. She lives on that.
Adam was behind the bar and she goes, Adam, I left you a bunch of messages about spots, but you didn't call me back. He's like, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to give you any spots whatsoever. I'm just going to tell you straight up, you're wasting your time. I'm not going to give you a spot. So just, you're wasting your time. She goes, I don't want to do Crazy Cindy's show, though. And he goes, I honest to God, I don't think you heard a word I said.
That's comedy.
It was hilarious. But I don't want Crazy Cindy. Like, oh, beggars can't be choosers with you, you fucking cunt.
You're not getting any spots.
Yeah. You're not going to get a single one, let alone Crazy Cindy. Yeah,
good.
Honest to God, I don't think you heard a word I said. I'm not going to lie. I think you made shit up.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Me and Diaz, if you remember, we went and played somewhere in New Mexico recently.
Oh, at a casino there, yeah.
Yeah. Now, that was in between Santa Fe and Albuquerque?
I think you were in between, like, Taos and Santa Fe. You were north of Santa Fe, I believe.
And you live in Albuquerque?
Santa Fe.
You live in Santa Fe. Were you not there that week?
No.
Oh. Now, let me ask you a question. Is all of New Mexico that beautiful?
It's pretty beautiful through there.
God.
I mean, it gets better up in Taos. Is more striking. It's really
really.
Beautiful. And if you go up into the mountains, like go for a drive up there, yeah, it's way better.
God, that place is great. It no is. Wonder you live there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a nice thing too. It's like it's just relaxed. It's not like there's like a high drive tension. It's like you can just go there and breathe and get your shit done and fucking all that.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's like there's not distractions, you know.
You love it out there. You live out there. You live here. Where else? And then wherever you're
hotels,
working, where you're gone?
Yeah,
hotels.
Mostly hotels. Yep. I got to live in Hawaii for 5 weeks this year, and then I got to live in Colombia for 3.5 weeks. And
wow.
Those were pretty fucking awesome.
Wow.
It's so cool. It's like places that I could never go that are like, that's like, oh, you're here for work, and they're going to give you a chunk of change, and you get to live here for, like, it's fucking rad, dude. To me, it's like, I don't know how it happened, but it's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Cool.
I feel
that's
pretty
super
lucky.
Badass.
And that was the same thing. Like in Hawaii, dude, it was so cool because we would go, they'd pick us up at like 11 or something to go to set. And so we'd get up and it was me.
What were you in Hawaii for? Which one's Hawaii?
The Jurassic Park one.
Yeah.
And me and Keith were out there together. And so we'd get up in the morning and we'd go have coffee and a juice or something and go out and surf for 3 hours. And then we'd go and get cleaned up, have breakfast. They'd come pick us up. We'd come back and go to, I don't know, be in bed by midnight, get up again, surf in the morning. We just surfed every day. It was fucking rad.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Then I got to go swim. We were with the guy that he owns. He's a guy named Brian Kialanu, and he's kind of like he's a real G. Like he is the guy that is water safety for all the huge movies and for everything. Like he's a real master of like, knowing about tides and all that shit, and he's like a famous lifeguard and stuntman, and he took me around on this little like 3-seater catamaran kind of deal. So you're right in the water, and we're out in it, and there's fucking dolphins all popping around, and he's just like, grab your goggles and go down, like jump off, and you go off, and fucking there's dolphins. They come back and they swim and jump up by you, and then you look down and it's like 15 feet, and it's just like sunlight coming down onto the bottom of this channel. And there's 30 dolphins all stretched out that are just swimming. And they swim coordinates, I guess. They swim like a course. Like half their brain goes off at a time, and they're never fully asleep. But they'll just swim a course with a couple sentries up. And then after dark, they'll flip over the reef and they'll go hunt. But it was fucking rad, dude. I don't know. There's so much beautiful aspects of that. And like kind of that whole spirit of aloha that happens in Hawaii and getting taken in by the locals in that way is a
different
thing.
With Hawaii is the music. The radio stations only play that vacation music, and
really?
The locals get so sick of it.
I never noticed, man. I wasn't in the car, I guess, that much.
Oh.
Yeah, who listens to the radio?
What was on TV while you were in Hawaii too, Ari?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We took a trip up into the mountains and fucking, you know, looked at all the scenery and shit.
Uh-huh.
Waterfalls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just dope. Fucking beautiful out there, huh?
We got to go over Maui waterfalls. Okay, the only way I saw Maui, we went up for a day to film, and so we fly in and get off at the airport. We drive to another part of the airport. We get in costume and we get on a helicopter with no doors on it, and we go up and we just fly around and burn through all these inlets that are like the island itself is like a rock face with waterfalls coming out of it that are like 100 feet high or whatever. And so we just flew over all that and flew into inlets and shit. It's fucking awesome. I'd never been in a helicopter before. Well, once before, I guess, for another job. But it was fucking cool, man. It was neat.
I've never been in it. I would love to be in a helicopter. You ever ride a helicopter, Ari?
No.
I would love to,
but no.
Me too. I think it would scare the shit out of me. But you never hear of, like, helicopter crashes. You always hear of plane crashes.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, didn't they all die in a helicopter crash?
It was a plane, I thought, and one survived. One survived.
Crawled
through the fucking swamp to somebody's backyard. Yeah. The guy shot him with a shotgun. Thought he was trespassing.
That'll happen.
It will happen.
Shouldn't have been doing that.
survived that too.
They say too, the guys that were with us, the SEALs that were with us in that, they go, okay, you got to be careful. That like they knew real safety. There's the guys that are at the airport that are like, here's the safety of this, of a helicopter and the eventuality of a crash and this and that. And we're out over the ocean, and my buddy Jared's like, okay, yeah, if it goes over, what happens is we're going to be upside down right away. Because the rotors are heavy, and they'll flip you. So you're going to be upside down. You're going to have to cut yourself away. You're going to have to get rid of this. And that. Like, it's a trip, like, because he'd been in helicopter crashes. Like, he's a Navy SEAL. Like, they practice being in crashes and what, like, it was awesome. It was great.
Those guys are badass.
Badass.
Those guys are like,
and to go shoot with those guys and all,
everything.
Dude, you go to the bar with a dude, it's a worst case scenario. It's like, it's a trip. It's a different thing. He's not like, oh, we're going to scrap with some dudes. He's like, looking at the end game of everything that's happening. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a trip. It's a trip.
Yeah, he's like, push comes to shove. Yep. I'm like, I'm going headshot there. I'm going to fucking smash
trip,
this
dude.
Guy's face into a fucking billboard.
Yeah.
Like, they just nail it all down.
Feels super safe.
That fucking American Sniper is great.
Is it?
It's great.
You saw it?
Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Eastwood directed it, but it's, you know, it's a true story.
To SAG members, they send a preview of the...
I haven't gotten one of that shits in fucking years.
Really?
You gotta
years.
You gotta be relevant, Ari.
I guess so. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's so good about SAG screeners. I guess because I haven't paid my dues in years.
Yeah, that's what it comes
Are you really
to.
Haven't?
I mean, I pay when they force me. They're like, what are you doing? You can't work. You haven't paid. You're way past your dues. I'm like, all right, well, here they are.
Huh.
But even when I pay them, I'm not going to get them this year now. Why am I not going to get them this year? Come on.
It's too late.
Years. Let's go.
It's too late. They're already out.
Yeah, they're out.
They're
well,
already
fuck
all
you
out.
Both.
I'll give you mine when I come back.
No, I don't want to watch them. I just want to have them.
You can have them.
Why do you want to have them if you don't? Oh, because you want to sell them.
I'm a hoarder, bro.
I can see that.
He wants to
I
be on the special
that.
Team. Dude, he's on the Cowboys already. He wants to be on some other teams he ain't on.
Yep. He is on the Cowboys. Well, all right. Good luck with your Cowboys. I'll see you. Oh, I won't see you this weekend. I won't see, because I'll be gone and you'll be gone. But I'll see you this week. Maybe next weekend we'll watch all the games together.
Sonny, I'm going to go to Taylor's house to watch the Cowboys game on Sunday.
What time's that game? I'll be coming back from La Jolla, but I would love to fucking watch them.
1 o'clock. If you leave early, get back for a 1 o'clock game.
All right. I'll do that. Let's hook up for the games.
Okay.
On Sunday.
Bye.
Enjoy the fights. Enjoy the fights. And as always, go to fucking punchdrunksports.com. Click the Amazon link. Caveman Coffee. Use the code punchdrunksports. And that'll save you 10%. And then go to fucking betsdsi.com. Use punchdrunk as the code. That'll be $10 in free gambling money. Now's the time to bet. Tate, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man.
I love you. 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 And see you next week. Bye.